exciting features, like card slots for direct printing from memory cards and exclusive DuraBrite individual ink cartridges for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos. It's also the only one that lets you restore the color of your old photos. And the CX4600 is all yours for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and get a $20 holiday shopping card. Visit Epson.com for details.
A goal without a plan is just a wish. So, just wishing for wealth isn't enough. Financial planning is the key to a secure future. Listen to Your Money, a one-hour show on WPTK every Sunday morning at 9:30. Bruce Helmer, along with Therese and Dave Hess, will answer questions on investment management, tax strategies, estate planning, and more. Brought to you by the Wealth Enhancement Group, enhancing wealth, enriching life. Learn the power of financial planning on Your Money, Sunday mornings at 9:30 on Power Talk 1200 WPTK.
When it comes to life insurance, people often make some serious mistakes. Today, insurance advisor Anthony Domino Jr. highlights a few of them.
Life insurance is effectively all about time and money. The product you buy is typically based upon how someone depends upon you financially. Some people stick their finger in the wind and say, I need $1 million or $2 million. That's not the best way to handle it. The concept of human life value is something that's quantifiable and is determinable.
What about the time issue?
As far as the product that people buy, they mistake and misunderstand the amount of duration or time that they'll need life insurance. People either need life insurance for a short term, resulting in a term insurance situation, or for a longer period of time, which would be permanent.
Many people also misunderstand the cost of life insurance. Rather than focus on what life insurance will cost this year, think about its cost over the long term. This Financial Security News Minute has been brought to you by the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. Let's see, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hello.
And as you know, he's African-American like you, so you can trust him.
And that's important, because here's the low monthly payment and interest rate you were promised, and here's where it triples. Plus, we buried a balloon payment in there, so you'll need another loan just to pay that off.
Another loan?
But we'll keep giving you loans.
Until we eventually take all the equity you had in your house, leaving you with absolutely nothing.
What? But don't worry, we're going to sell you credit life insurance. You don't really need it, but we sell it at 5 times the cost.
Which puts a ton of cash in our pockets.
Wait, whoa. Don't get up. You look nervous.
Ooh, we better hurry up and get you to sign, or if you don't, I can pretend to ruin your credit with one phone call.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Legendary athlete Eric Weinmayer, the first blind person to climb Mount Everest, believes that literacy lets you reach the summit of your dreams.
That's why I've joined with Verizon Reads and the American Foundation for the Blind in an important initiative that will assure equal access to textbooks among children whose only limitation is their inability to see.
To find out more, call 800-232-5463 or visit VerizonReads.net or AFB.org.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WPTK.
Southwest America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon, Guy James Show listeners. Glad to have you along with us today. All of you out there in Lee and Collier and Hendry and Charlotte and, oh, all the counties around here in Southwest Florida. Beautiful Southwest Florida, where we have the sandy beaches and blue waters. And, of course, hello to everybody on the internet. Glad to have you along with us. Do want to let everybody on the internet know I'm flying blind today. Just found out a few moments ago that We don't have a computer here in the studio today, so if anything goes wrong, like, call us. Biz must hate me for that. I come in and I start complaining right away. It's too hot in the studio, and then the computer isn't working. I just complain. But she's got broad shoulders. She takes good care of her around here. She just turned on the air in here. It's starting to feel a little bit better. I was complaining it was hot. But I'm better now. Hey, did you have a good week this week? I certainly did. One of the more quiet weeks, I think, we've had in politics for a long, long time. For those of you tuning in for the first time, politics is something we usually discuss on this program. And it was quiet, and yet it was an important week in so many ways. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to have on with us a little later on today Kristen Breitweiser. A lot of you recognize that name. Kristen lost her husband in the 9/11 disaster, and she has led the fight to get the 9/11 Commission even together, and now leading the fight to get the legislation passed that they recommended. So, Kristen, very, very well-spoken lady, and she's going to be on with us sometime a little later on in the program. And something new today, we're going to have our Liar of the Week contest. I should say the Bush Administration Liar of the Week contest. We're going to do that a little bit later on. And, just one thing after another to talk about. I do have to report to you that, you know, we issued a challenge here a while back to have our I don't want to say compadres because I really don't want anything to do with them, but Rush, the drug junkie Limbaugh, we invited him to do a guest appearance on the show to debate him, and he hasn't shown up yet. And, of course, we issued that same challenge to Mr. Sean Hannity, and he hasn't shown up yet. And the interesting part of this all was that we did get a hold of the offices of Bill the Pervert O'Reilly this week and ask him to come on our show and explain this whole foray into perversion that he indulged in a while back. But you know what? He doesn't want to talk about it. So that's a subject Mr. O'Reilly will never again discuss. Wonder why. And, of course, we had the changeover this week in the Homeland Security. I hate that name. That sounds so Nazi to me. Homeland Security. I feel like my right arm ought to go up, you know, in a straight out, you know, how they did that. I don't like that name. It seems to me they could call it something else. But Tom Ridge, who was, in my opinion, pretty much a failure in the Homeland Security outfit, being replaced by this Bernie Kerik, and we're going to talk a little more about him later on. What a guy. What a guy. Scary guy. But, you know, it all brings up, talking about Kristen Breitweiser and his Homeland Security and stuff, it brings up the subject of who benefited the most from 9/11. And I've been thinking a lot about that. And let's just take a moment and examine the subject of who benefited the most from 9/11. Was it Osama bin Laden and his people? You know, you could certainly make a good argument for that option. After all, good old Osama was having a tough time recruiting new terrorists into his group because he didn't have the exposure needed to recruit people from all over the world. But 9/11 gave him that exposure, and now he's able to recruit more people than more people than the U.S. military. His recruiting has gone very well, from what I understand. So Osama would be right up there if you're making a list who benefited the most from 9/11. But there are others who benefited quite a lot as well. Now, let's take Rudy Giuliani, for example. Here we have a guy who was hours away, and I do mean just hours away, from being a disgraced ex-mayor of New York, disgraced by a transgression far more humiliating than that of Bill Clinton, because, after all, Bill Clinton never moved Monica into the White House, but Rudy did move his mistress into the Gracie Mansion while his wife and children still resided there. But now Rudy is the darling of the right. He's sucking up to the radical right like never before. And they love him. They really do. And these very moral values people seem to have forgotten that Rudy is an admitted adulterer and he's pro-choice. Now, you wouldn't think all these evangelical moralists would have anything to do with a guy like Rudy, but whoever said those people ever make any sense at all? That's right. Then we have Rudy's right-hand man. Speaking of who benefited the most from 9/11, and let me give you our phone numbers. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. and 479-5540 here in Lee County and 265-6570 in Collier County. But we got Rudy's right-hand man here, Bernie Kerik, this new guy ahead of the Homeland Security. This guy's a real piece of work. And only someone as ideological blind as George Bush would even want him as a janitor in their building, let alone the Homeland Security Fuhrer. And Fuhrer is exactly what he reminds me of. Did anybody check out his past record? Start doing a Google on this guy and start checking out his record and start checking out what the police officials in New York City have to say about him. Anybody, for example, want to dig into his little cigarette money-making scheme in the New York prison system? Check that one out. And he was a Jersey High School dropout. And, of course, he got a nice recommendation from September 11th Commission member John Layman. You all remember John Layman. Hardly a flaming lib, huh? Layman called Kerik's leadership after the terror attack scandalous and not worthy of the Boy Scouts. And I apologize to the Boy Scouts for that. Anyone want to check out his fine record of leadership while he was in Iraq? Organized that nation's police force. Check that one out. I think he was there 14 weeks and had to leave because it was a total disaster. His entire project had to be scrapped after officials found out that more than half of all of his trainees had to be kicked out because they were corrupt and ill-trained. Yeah, he's a real genius, all right. But maybe the real reason this scarier than John Ashcroft guy got this new job is he knows how to suck up to the right people. He and Rudy are good buddies, and don't forget that he once said during the campaign, I'm sure some of you remember this, but during the campaign he said his greatest fear was that John Kerry would get elected because the terrorists would take that as a signal to hit us again. What a bastard. Homeland Security Chief, what a laugh this guy is. But taking the prize, of course, for who profited the most off of 9/11 is none other than George W. Bush. He milked it and milked it right back into the White House for a second term. He used it to his advantage. He used the whole situation to settle an old score for his daddy, to help his wacko Progress for a New American Century gang achieve their goal of world domination. But most of all, he used it to play on the fears of the most gullible of the American public. Young and old alike, he and his party drilled it into his voters' weak minds that only he, only George W. Bush could keep them from another attack. He, George W. Bush, was their knight in shining armor who'd slay all the evildoers and keep us safe for all time. He went into Afghanistan and pulled out most of the troops before the job was done. And look how that's turned out now. And then he gets us into Iraq, and we all know how that's going. And if he had any more young American soldiers at his disposal that he could sacrifice right now, he'd be making war on Iran and Syria right now. That's a fact. You and I both know that. And yes, there's some minor players in our little game of picking the person who benefited the most from 9/11. Maybe the people who manufactured all those little flags everybody flew on their cars back then, and the people making those fake ribbons right now that everybody's got on their cars. But Georgie Bush wins the prize. He parlayed a national tragedy into a political plum, and that is what I will always remember George Bush for the most. Not his stupid speech mistakes he makes almost every time he gets in front of the public. Not for falling off his bicycle. Not for choking on a pretzel. Not for the largest budget deficit of all time. Not for ending up minus jobs in his first term. And not for that maddening smirk of his. But for having the gall to make political hay off of the worst tragedy to ever take place on our shores. What a disgrace. What an utter disgrace. But these people know no other way. They really don't. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04, 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 if you're in Collier County. Let's go to the phone and talk to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, hi. Good afternoon. Well, you know, I want to talk about Bin Laden and why we're never going to get that man, but you know, it was interesting when the president was in Chile, he warned Putin not to consolidate his power and his regime. And Isn't that what the president's doing?
it couldn't be a better example of it.
It's just amazing. And, of course, you know, Mr. Ridge, I don't know how hard to be on him, because I understand that he was wanting these chemical companies to increase their security quite a bit, and he was overruled by his boss. You know who his boss is?
His boss?
Right.
Well, it's George Bush.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we don't know how much stuff has been not been done because the president has stepped in and said, no, oh, no, these are my friends. We don't want to do that. And then on shortwave, and then finally on our national news is here, I've heard that Rumsfeld says he's made a miscalculation in Iraq.
Well,
unreal.
Miscalculation indeed.
But anyway, to get to bin Laden, the National Geographic's December issue has a beautiful article called The Land of the Pashtun. These are the tribes that are on the Afghan Pakistan border. And in the articles it says they may be the most ungovernable people on earth, and they're divided into dozens of tribes and hundreds of clans and all this. And no self-respecting, well-to-do Pashtun is without his personal armory, a house with 20-foot walls and watchtowers. And in those watchtowers he may have an anti-aircraft gun, a couple mortars or two, a 50-caliber machine gun, and dozens of AK-47s and rocket-propelled grenades stacked around. These people, the one thing they will do, they'll betray their fathers, according to this article, but the one thing they will not do, and they're bound to do, is to give you sanctuary and keep you safe. And the article says that if one family would let bin Laden be caught, their family, their clan, their tribe, their city or village, whatever they have, would carry this burden for hundreds of years. That's how these people are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, that's for sure.
Yeah, and of course, we've paid these people money, and they take your money, and then they never deliver. It's like these people that are going to build you a swimming pool, and you give them half the money, and all of a sudden you got a hole in the ground, and then that's it. That's all gone.
Yeah, and you have to wonder who's the smart one in those deals.
Yeah, and the biggest miscalculation that's been done by Rumsfeld, and you know, Rumsfeld threw out the book that Colin Powell wrote about when we go to war and how we go to war and why we go to war. And he just wrote his own that, well, if we feel like going to war, we're going to go to war. And this preemptive strike business is so stupid, isn't even funny. If you had a neighbor who was threatening you or you thought was a threat, would you go over and attack that neighbor?
No.
I don't think so. Because while they seem to be a threat, you don't know if they'll ever attack you. But if you attack them, then you've become the aggressor. You've become, well, just go on from there.
That's right.
Bottom line is, the people in our government don't understand these cultures. When you read this article about the Pashtun, all of a sudden you understand that culture, and it's something that, personally, I would stay away from. In Iraq, these people were armed to the teeth over there. I don't know if people realize it, but Saddam always felt that a well-armed society was important. The average citizens have more guns probably than the people in this country have that collect guns.
Oh, sure.
And if they were that well armed and they didn't feel like they wanted to overthrow this man, there was a reason. And you have to understand their culture. And they know that if he's gone, you're going to have chaos because you got these three different tribes we hear about each day, and they're going to go at each other. And then you've got your simple individual criminals that are out there causing troubles and so forth.
Well, it's not going to be an easy fix, no matter who takes over in there. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. I heard the man from Tampa this morning, a man who has relatives in Iraq, called the show and was telling what the situations are out there. And they have little courtyards. The whole house is walled in, so that they've got total security and privacy. But he said you can't even sit down in your courtyard there anymore. One of the relatives had a bullet hit her in the shoulder.
Wow.
It came from who knows where. They don't, well, they're afraid to go out during the daytime, and at nighttime there's rapes and kidnaps and killings and just anything. And he was over there in February and visited, and he says it's changed so much since then, and it's not a safer place. And the proof is that our esteemed president didn't go over and enjoy Thanksgiving dinner with our troops.
He wouldn't dare. It's far more unsafe
right.
This year. Hey,
thank
John,
you,
thanks so much for your call. Do appreciate your call. Let's go to Jack in Fort Myers. Hi, Jack.
How are you, sir?
Good.
I just want to mentioned to you that Lyndon Johnson and FDR, they both benefited politically from the wars, so what Bush has done is not so
Lyndon Johnson benefited from the war? What history book did
absolutely.
You read?
Absolutely.
Oh, come on now. I'm afraid you don't know your history if you think the reason Lyndon Johnson left office was because of the war.
Why are you so bitter?
Bitter? I'm not bitter. What am I bitter about?
You sound bitter about everything.
How do I?
How people at the ribbons on the car.
Wow. No, I'm not bitter at the ribbons on the car. You took that the wrong way. You're assuming too much, my friend.
And the other question I have is, why is it that people who don't make a lot of money seem to get as bitter as you are about politics? Rich people don't care.
Because it affects everybody. I mean, what do you mean bitter? First of all, I don't know what you mean bitter. I haven't said any. I'm bitter toward anybody.
Well, it's calling somebody a bastard, I think, is being a little bitter.
Obviously, you don't listen to much talk radio. Have you listened to Limbaugh and Hannity lately? Have you?
They have other people on. They'll have liberals on the show. There's a lot of arguing, but at least they open.
Arguing with Hannity? Are you kidding? Arguing with Limbaugh? You're not serious, are you?
Maybe not Limbaugh, but Hannity, at least he's had a few on.
And what's he do? He doesn't let him talk. He doesn't let him talk. He runs him right off the air is what he does time after time.
He's a bit of an idiot himself. He's a bit of an idiot. And so they'll bring people on, let them discuss things. And unless Hannity has something in front of him that he can read, his opinions are worthless anyway.
Who, Hannity's?
Absolutely.
Ah, we've invited him on our show. He won't come on. We've invited Limbaugh on the show. We invited O'Reilly this week. And O'Reilly's not going to talk about his situation with anybody. Thanks for your call, Jack. Going to move on. Going to talk to Diane in Fort Myers, North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Guy. That last guy. Unbelievable.
I'm a bitter man, Diane. I'm bitter.
After this last election, I can say it is believable.
Yeah.
But, no, I was calling out. Hopefully, Guy, you'll look into Karzai. That's another one. I'm glad you're bringing up about Giuliani's back history there and that.
Well, Karzai is another puppet. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. Karzai is
Unocal man. Yeah, Unocal oil for years. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable how this plantation setting up there in Washington, D.C., at that White House now is. It's just unbelievable to me. And America still loves this guy. I mean, where did we get so stupid?
Well, where does this government headed right now? Everybody leaving, you see, has been some of the moderates. Oh, yes, Ashcroft left, but they replaced him with someone just as crazy. But Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Wolfowitz, the real neocons, they're
people.
Still there.
I know. Well, of course, but they've been running everything anyway. You know, they are the ones that's in charge. I mean, you have to go back to follow. Good old Cheney's history there with Rumsfeld. How Rumsfeld is actually the one that made Cheney who he is today.
Yeah, Cheney, you know.
Just all in the same little, like, organized crime family. They have been for years. It's brought down through history from right out of Prescott Bush's days. You know, and I mean, I can't believe where we've lost our mind in this country. I can't figure it out. If you can figure it out within, you know, the next week, let me know next week on the radio.
Okay. So you've given me quite an assignment. In 1 week, I got to figure out what's wrong with the American psyche. Woo, boy. People have been working on that one for a long time. Hey, I think we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200 here in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after these words.
The Guy James Show.
Experts report that adult-onset diabetes has soared by more than a third in the last 10 years. The most common dental problems of diabetes are dry mouth, tooth decay, periodontal disease, and taste impairment. Dry mouth is when the body doesn't produce enough saliva. A healthy flow of saliva is needed to wash away food particles and cut down on tooth decay. To relieve dry mouth, consider using sugarless gum or mints and take frequent sips of water. Cut down on caffeine and restrict your use of alcohol. Diabetics may also experience taste impairment. The ability to taste sweet foods is diminished. This may influence food choices where patients eat foods very high in sugar and carbohydrate content. This may affect dental and overall health. Be sure to practice good oral hygiene by brushing twice a day, flossing daily, and getting regular dental checkups. Ask your dentist if you have any questions. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell. To find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
For many people, spring cleaning is not complete without cleaning their home's air ducts. Clean air ducts can often help to reduce allergy suffering, eliminate health hazards, and help to reduce household dust. Also, cleaning an HVAC system may allow it to run more efficiently by removing debris from sensitive mechanical components. Clean, efficient systems are less likely to break down, have a longer lifespan, and generally operate more effectively than dirty systems. Experts often recommend having air ducts cleaned every 2 years, and when possible, by a professional. Before hiring a company to clean your home's HVAC system, get proof that the company is properly licensed and adequately insured. To find a trained and certified air duct cleaning contractor that can provide a professional cleaning of a home's entire air duct system, contact the National Air Duct Cleaners Association at 1-202-737-2926 or visit www.nadca.com.
America's doctor or Grinch?
Well, speaking of overweight, Santa. Get your kids to believe in a fairy tale about an overweight guy in a red suit and a white beard with high cholesterol level who flies around in a sleigh one night of the year because Santa knows if you've been bad or good. If Santa died, we would hold a serious incident inquiry. If we had any sense, we should ask the tooth fairy to chair the committee.
Somebody got a rock in his stocking. Dr. Dina Dell.
Dr. Dina Dell is live and on the air. Weekdays at 4 on Power Talk 1200. Back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Wow, I can't believe that ad I just heard during the break. Dr. Dina Dell attacking Santa Claus. Woo, what's next? Is he going after the Easter Bunny? I don't know about that, Dr. Dell. What has he got against Santa Claus? My goodness. You're listening to the Guy James Show here coming to you from Fort Myers, Florida. I do want to remind all of our internet listeners again today that although we have a thread started on the Democratic Underground Forum that we usually monitor throughout the show, we can't do that today. We don't have our computer here. It's down for repairs or something. So I'm sure you're going at it on there like you always do. Just don't expect me to respond today because I'm flying blind. Okay, so take good care of that and talk amongst yourselves. Hey, we're going to go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Sounds like you need some of us local callers today.
Oh, they can call in. They can hear us just fine. It's just that I can't see what they're saying on the internet. We always have a forum going during the internet back and forth.
Well, it's nice to know that the local people then have some importance.
That's right. They certainly do.
I have a question for you.
You always do.
What's the number we have now of American casualties in Iraq?
Well, I think the number of casualties right now. I'm trying to think. Let me think about this for a minute. I know we lost 135 in November.
I mean, last I heard was 1250, but it keeps climbing.
Yeah, I think it's 1287 right now. And
why is this such a secret?
Yeah. Why did we not see any flag draped coffins for the longest time until someone finally broke that? It's a pretend war. It's a nice, clean, tidy, sanitary war.
Well, of course, I've asked the same question before. One of the things I have tied into, and some people might want to do this, is that this local talk show host, this fellow Dave Elliott, has a website going on Wink WNOG, and one of the people labeled and said on it that all people on the liberal wing are seditious, which I guess would include you and me.
Oh, no, and what's the penalty for that?
Well, like, what is sedition?
Well, it's just fighting against our own government. We're just being nasty.
No, it's treason.
Yeah.
In time of war.
Yeah.
I have asked this question before.
You know, that's the death penalty.
Are we in time of war?
And the penalty is the death penalty.
Are we in time of war?
Tough one. You know, the American public wouldn't think so. In fact, so many people. America's in self-denial right now, John. You know that.
Is this a war?
Well, I think it is.
I still have questioned that because Congress has never declared war.
Yeah, it's not a war in name, no.
In legal sense.
No.
There's never been a declaration of war.
That's right.
I'm not sure what this is, but by our legal constitution, we're not at war.
Seems the authority that has been abrogated, and Bush has taken full advantage of that.
Yeah, because he doesn't, you know, all these conservatives who want a conservative and be very legal don't want to observe the U.S. Constitution in this region.
Well, we certainly heard that phrase, the rule of law, enough during the impeachment trials of Clinton, didn't we?
Well, if they have a rule of law, and the law says, or the rule of law is based on the Constitution of the United States, and I've brought this up on this show before, you can't be at war unless you follow the Constitution, which says Congress is the only body that has a right to declare war.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
And I don't see how you can be seditious if you're not at war.
Well, I wish I knew what the average people, you know, in America really thought about this war. I talk to a lot of folks, and I know you do. I wish Bush would take responsibility for it. Congress certainly, they certainly shirked their responsibility when they had a chance to do something about it and threw it in his lap, and we all knew what he would do with it.
And yet it's costing an awful lot of money, an awful lot of lives, and, you know, it's doing things to this country which is negative, and we certainly don't seem, of course, as you have so ably pointed out, to be doing too well over there.
No, certainly not.
And, by the way, you know, as Downtown John pointed out a little earlier, some of us are straining to catch talk radio, which barely exists. We have your show on Saturdays. We have Daniel Roos out of 970 on Tampa on Saturday mornings, and that's it. Other than that, we have a litany of propaganda, and that's what I call it, a litany of propaganda. It's not talk radio, that exists on these two stations locally in this area owned by Meridian, which is, you know, just a litany of hate radio against the Democrats, to the point where people like this fellow on this website believe by this point that anybody who has an opposing view is seditious.
Certainly.
And frankly, Guy, I think it's past the point of Democrat-Republican politics. This, to me, is very dangerous. Because I think that when you start talking about people who are in opposition to the current leadership in Washington and to this undeclared war, which may or may not be legal, if you oppose that, then you're seditious. And we're beginning to attack this the same way the Nazis and the fascists did during World War II.
Absolutely. I agree.
And if you have this litany of propaganda, if this the stations that call themselves talk radio only allow one point of view that they you have to buy your time, all these people are paid to give this propaganda, there is something wrong in our body politic.
I would say so, and you know, addressing your point of you know, not objecting to what's going on, I think it was Martin Luther King that said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter, and that's so true. I think the American public has been far too silent in regarding this talk radio issue. Why do you think liberal radio isn't big in this country, John? What's your opinion? I think I know the answer to it.
Well, I don't want liberal radio.
Okay,
I don't want conservative.
Why don't you want
the
other side?
Let me tell you what I want, Guy.
Yeah.
I want a radio talk show where people of all points of view can get it. I mean, you've been very good about this because you allow the other point of view. But basically, what I would like to see is talk radio. We used to have this in this neck of the woods, where people of all points of view can call up and we can have dialogue and discussion.
Sure.
Not a diatribe.
Yes.
You know, I don't think talk radio should be all liberal. I don't think it should be all conservative. I think it should be a talk show host who basically is, you know, giving points of view but moderating discussion among the callers. And that we can have basically what we used to call a town hall meeting of the air. And that's what has disappeared. And I think what we have now is the most unhealthy. I mean, it really is reminiscent of what Goebbels did during World War II, where it's a litany, as I said before, of propaganda that comes out hour by hour with talk show hosts calling names, saying things that are unchallenged, and just one point of view that is allowed on the airwaves. And I think that's so highly dangerous.
Well, it's a tough problem right now, and I don't know if a lot of people know how talk radio works, but there are many syndicates around the country, different networks that have, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. And if you have a an owner of a company like this one or others that are and I don't know, but are predisposed to the right-wing agenda, they're going to lean a little bit that way anyway. But you have a guy like, let's say, like Sean Hannity. So they put Sean Hannity on, but in order, and he's a moneymaker. There's no question about that. Sean Hannity is a moneymaker for any station that he's on. So he's on, but in order for the station, the syndicate says, we will give you Sean Hannity, but you've got to take one of these other lesser-known guys, too, and put him on the air in some of your other less desirable time. So that fills up some of that time. And then you get maybe somebody that takes the Mike Savage show. Yes, we'll give you Mike Savage, but you've got to take this other show along. And pretty soon, all the hours are all filled up, and it's tough, tough to break in, really tough.
And it's two stations worth in this area.
Yeah.
And there is nothing else in this. You have to tune in to Miami to get a different point of view.
Yes.
And there is no local talk where people like myself, other than your show, can call in, really, and give our viewpoints. I mean, we can on the Tampa station. But here in this Southwest Florida, you have a monopoly of these two stations by the same ownership, giving just this litany, as I said, of propaganda that goes out time after time, and no place for the individual to really call up and express an opinion.
Well, you know, John, if enough people complain, we can get that changed, and I hope people know that.
I hope your show becomes an avenue for this, and I keep bringing this up because I think that we're not going to, our politics are going to go down the tubes. Our freedom of expression is going to go down the tubes unless we fight for it.
Certainly.
And, you know, and I know you're paying for the time. But you're the one open place, because you do allow people of other viewpoints to come in and express themselves.
We do. We don't think we'd be fair. We don't think we'd be honest and credible if we didn't.
Well, you know, this is something that I think you have built as a credibility. And I think somehow this station management over here should look to you, not only for this show, but maybe to put you on a live show during the week, so that you can run it for all the people here and not just have a Democratic talk show, but talk show where everybody can participate.
Sure. John, thank you for your call.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. Going to go up to Eric in beautiful Vermont. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
I'm calling today because I just talked to a carrier that we have.
Speak up a little if you can, Eric.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I was just talking to a carrier that we have that is from Pakistan, a very nice young lady. She works for the post office. Who she had voted for, and she had mentioned that she had voted for Bush. And, well, she was talking about Hussein, and he had the weapons of mass destruction, and by the mainstream media, and if they don't really have the time to get onto the internet and to investigate for themselves a lot of the issues that are going on in this country and throughout the world, how ignorant they become of what is really truth and what is not truth.
Oh, you're so right, Eric.
It was so disappointing for me.
It's terribly frustrating for me when I talk to someone like that, and I think, my God, if only we could have talked to these people before the election, if we could have just had their ear. I don't mean feed them a bunch of propaganda. I just mean tell them the truth and get them to understand, induce them to go someplace and do research and find out that what they've been hearing is wrong. And we just don't reach enough people to do that, and it's terribly, terribly frustrating.
It's difficult if all we can rely on is the internet, and that's why it's so really important to get a lot of, not just talk shows going, but visual shows, because people really strongly identify with the pictures much more than they do. I mean, for example, they had the protests in Ottawa this past week, and the pictures were so demonstrative of what the anti-Bush feelings were in Ottawa and, you know, a lot of the Canadian people up there, whereas we don't get those, and they're not going to be put on the visual media because, you know, Johnny Joe Sixpack comes back home, he wants to drink his, you know, little beer. And sorry, he's not going to be listening to even the someplace, but I do think that the AV section of it is a lot of times more important to the American public in terms of relating the message rather than just the audio section of it.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Eric. And, you know, I wonder how many people out there, and I was going to talk about it a little later on the program, but I wonder how many voters out there that voted for Mr. Bush during this election and approve of the war effort that the campaign we're running over there right now. I wonder how many people out there know that we're using napalm. I wonder how many people, talking about these visual aids that you just mentioned, I wonder how many people have seen pictures of civilian bodies burnt beyond recognition, burned in half, with limbs burned off by the napalm that we dropped in Fallujah. I think if all American citizens saw that, I think we'd have a different attitude here in this country.
Which was something that I did discuss with her because I saw the USS Liberty documentary last night, and a lot of people don't know that this boat was in 1967 off the coast of Israel, and we've never really reconciled that to the American people of having any truth for them. It was actually napalmed on the deck of the this United States boat by the Israelis, and this young lady that I had talked to had no concept that we actually used napalm in Fallujah. I mean, people don't have this knowledge, and how can you make a rational vote for the president or any other electoral office for what they represent if you don't really have the facts, which are being precluded by our five groups of people that control the media, whether they're audio or visual or both.
Right you are, Eric. Eric, I'm going to have to cut you off. Our listeners let me know that they can't hear you. If you like, call us back on line 5, and we'll be glad to put you back on again, okay?
That's okay. Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Guy. You're doing a great job.
You know, I agree so much with what Eric had to say about the American public just being bamboozled over this thing. They haven't seen the real truth. And the Bush administration has done everything they can to keep the real truth. You know, it's hard to believe in this modern day and age, this wonderful communication era that we live in, with communication at everybody's disposal, that the truth is out probably less during this war than it was in the Second World War in Vietnam. How can that be? How can that be when everybody has complete access to news from all over the world at their fingertips at home on their computer? How can that be? We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show. You stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Hi, I'm Sam Waterston. Losing your sight would be terrifying. But sadly, more than 6 million Americans are losing their vision to blinding inherited diseases such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. These diseases make it impossible to drive, read, or even see the faces of loved ones. Everything in life becomes a challenge, but there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research on macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and Usher syndrome, or to find out how you can help, please call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, driving research to save and restore sight.
Domestic violence can result in major injury or even death in what should be the safest place of all, the home. That's why the Florida legislature passed the Family Protection Act, which was recently signed into law by Governor Jeb Bush. People who commit acts of domestic violence will now face even tougher penalties, including mandatory jail terms and much larger fines. Don't make the mistake of bringing domestic violence into your home, or you'll find yourself in a new home with bars.
This message is brought to you by the Executive Office of the Governor, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
In Sweetwater, a college student teaches swimming at the Y.
In Woodsboro, an iron worker builds a home with Habitat for Humanity.
In Detroit, a dental hygienist helps clean up a state park.
In Seattle, a commercial fisherman joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
If knowledge is power, then Power Talk 1200 is your source for news and information, plus today's most powerful talk program. Now, Power Talk 1200 brings you the resources of ABC News at the top of every hour, plus the recognized name in business with the CNBC report throughout your workday at 30 minutes past the hour. ABC News
and CNBC Business Report.
Knowledge is power. Power Talk 1200, WPTK.
You've heard the right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
You're listening to the Guy James Show, coming to you from beautiful Fort Myers, Florida. And I would tell all of you to come down for a visit, but I guess most of you are already here. Judging from the traffic we see around this area right now, my, oh my, oh my. The out-of-state license plates start showing up in droves about this time every year, and I'm afraid the roads just aren't quite built to handle it. Seems like we're always a little bit behind the times with the roads around here. No kidding. Over where I live, I have a highway. It's called US 41, Route 41. And they just finished making it four lanes most of the way, all the way to Naples. They've just finished the four-lane thing, and now they're going to make it six lanes all the way. They just never think ahead. They just never think ahead. I don't know why. Maybe it's a money thing. I don't know what. But Lord knows, this is probably the easiest place in the country to build roads, not having to worry about the freezing problem and so forth like we did in the north. But here we are with taking forever to build. It's a mess. It's a mess. But still, gorgeous place to come for a visit. I certainly have been vacationed here a lot before I moved here. Hey, have any of you heard about this guy down in Alabama? I got quite a kick out of this guy. I saw him on the news the other night. He's an Alabama lawmaker, Representative Gerald Allen, Republican from Cottondale, Alabama. That's right, Cottondale, Alabama, who sought to ban gay marriages now, and he wants to ban novels with gay characters from public libraries, including university libraries. This is a real progressive guy here. A bill by Representative Gerald Allen, Republican of Cottondale, would prohibit the use of public funds for the, and I quote, purchase of textbooks or library materials that recognize or promote homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. Allen said he filed the bill to protect the children of Alabama from the homosexual agenda. To quote him, he said, "Our culture, how we know it today, is under attack from every angle." He said if this bill passes, novels with gay protagonists and college textbooks that suggest homosexuality is natural would have to be removed from library shelves and destroyed. Asked what they would do with them, he said, "I guess we just dig a big hole and dump them all in and bury them." If the bill became law, public school textbooks could not present homosexuality as a genetic trait, and public libraries couldn't offer books with gay or bisexual characters. So some wise reporter jumps up and says, "Well, what about Tennessee Williams' Southern classic, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?" Now, you know that this guy, if you saw him, wasn't smart enough to know about Tennessee Williams and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, but, well, we don't all know everything about each show, that's for sure, but he said the play probably couldn't be performed by university theater groups. No state funds should be used to pay for materials that foster homosexuality. He just kept going on and on and on about homosexuality. You know, this could include popular novels with gay characters such as The Color Purple, The Picture of Dorian Gay, Brideshead Revisited. I don't know. They're just going to clean out. We're going to have a good old-fashioned book burning down on Main Street down there in central Alabama, and I just think it would be a good time. It'd be had by all. We can get Reverend Billy Bob to come on out there and preach while we're burning them their books. And while he's at it, he can tell us all about creationism instead of evolution and tell us why evolution's a nasty, nasty thing and creationism has been proven. Yeah, it's what, you know, they're doing that in some schools now. But anyway, I have a little fun at the expense of this Alabama lawmaker. I saw him on TV and I got to admit, the guy reminded me of a basset hound. He just got a long face and just kind of, you know, his eyes look the, I don't know. He was a funny character, nonetheless. Very funny character. You know, I would like to hear from you about who you think made the most hay off of 9/11. We started off talking about that today. Would like to know what you think. Who's your person you think made the most hay off of 9/11? What do you think? You know, I do have a message. It seems like political discourse on the Internet has slowed down somewhat. And we're starting to hear, just as I predicted we would, we're starting to hear from so many different areas in the Republican Party, so many different factions in the Democratic Party, rather, about what went wrong and what we got to do to get, you know, to win the election the next time, what we got to do to win the midterms. You know, and this DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, how many of you know about them? I think they're the right wing of the left wing is what they are. They're the centrist, the far right of the Democratic Party. And, you know, there's a guy by the name of Al Fromm that heads the whole thing. And I got a message for Al Fromm and the Democratic Leadership Council. Just go join the Republican Party, Al, okay? For a long time now, you seem to drift further and further and further to the right. Instead of standing with the mainstream Democrats and campaigning hard for victory, you want us to follow you over to the Republican camp. I've got news for you, Al. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the reason I bring this up is that I heard Al make what I consider a ridiculous statement this week. He said, and I quote, we've got to repudiate, you know, the most strident and insulting anti-American voices out there, sometimes on our party's left. We can't have our party identified by Michael Moore. And then his sidekick, Will Marshall, his sidekick who heads up the DLC's think tank, they call it the Progressive Policy Institute, he said, and I quote, you know, let's let Hollywood and the Cannes Film Festival fawn all over Michael Moore. We ought to make it pretty clear that he doesn't speak for us when it comes to standing up for our country. This coming from a Democrat. Now, it doesn't sound to me like these two characters have a clue as to the mindset of the grassroots, the rank and file of the Democratic Party. I don't think they do. They both need to put their ear to the ground and listen to what the party faithful are saying right now. And most people that I've talked to anyway, and I correspond with many, many Democrats, most people are not saying we need to follow the DLC's fair-haired boy Joe Lieberman and you two nitwits into the Republican Party. You know, regardless of what you think of Michael Moore personally, his film was a very important milestone in this year's election. You know, millions of people got to see the plain, unvarnished truth about the Bush administration instead of the mass media manufactured images that were out there for all to see. You know, Michael Moore told the truth, and if the truth hurts the DLC agenda, then that's just too bad. You know, there's going to be a little tug of war going on between the DLC and the rest of the Democratic Party. There was a time early on in the history of the DLC that they put forth a pretty reasonable, intelligent message. But now they've become so, you know, the so-called Democrats who want to capitulate and become a little nicey-nice Republican-lite. And their message regarding the war, whatever Bush's message regarding this debacle, is the DLC's message as well. There's no difference. So, Al Fromm, can it, will you? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear anything about this fight between the DLC trying to take over the party, because if we let Joe Lieberman's people take over the party. And I, you know, don't get me wrong, Joe Lieberman's a good guy and all that, but his politics are just too far to the right to suit me and most of the people in the Democratic Party. I don't think there's any question about that. We're not Republican light. We're Democrats, and I think we have to stand up for that right now. Hey, wouldn't it be fun? I was looking for a little note I had right here. Wouldn't it be fun to be a pigeon down in Houston, Texas right now? I'd love to be a pigeon in Houston, Texas right now. I better be careful saying that. I might be one of those bang zoom things and puff smoke, and I turned into a pigeon. Got a ticklish throat today. But down in Houston, Texas, they put a monument up, a $1.7 million George Bush monument. Wonderful. Just, you know, and they gathered together to dedicate this thing. The air quivered with praise of speakers at Thursday's dedication of downtown Houston's $1.7 million George Bush monument. Strove to describe the former president's virtues, how he was a statesman, a war hero, a humanitarian, and an inspired businessman. One superlative after another for Mr. Bush. Mayor Bill White said Bush was a model of what it means to be a citizen of the greatest city and the greatest country in the world. Former television news anchor Ron Stone opined Bush was the most important Houstonian ever, with the possible exception of Sam Houston. Now, I'm sorry. If Bush is the most important... the greatest Houstonian ever, with the exception of Sam Houston. That doesn't say a whole lot for Houston now, does it? Certainly not. But I would like to be a pigeon in Texas right now. That statue would be mighty inviting. It's a big 8-foot, $1.7 million statue, and pigeon's got to be in hog heaven up there right now. We've got so much more to talk about during the program today. We're going to talk to Kristen Breitweiser just a little later. We're going to talk about our Liar of the Week contest and the new Agriculture Secretary, Johannes. Much, much, much to talk about in the show today. So I hope you'll stay with us. It's 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04, 479-5540 here locally, and we're looking for your call. Right now, we're going to pause for the news coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to The Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. Stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Food, fodder for terrorists? I'm Larry Jacobs, and outgoing Health Secretary Tommy Thompson says the U.S. food supply is vulnerable to terrorist attack. President Bush was asked about that this morning.
We're a large country with all kinds of avenues where somebody could inflict harm, and we're doing everything we can to protect the American people.
Food fear in space. NASA working on a plan to evacuate the International Space Station. Turns out the two-man crew is eating more than engineers figured, which could result in a critical food shortage weeks earlier than expected. In the meantime, Russia's planning on sending up an automated space freighter. If it makes it okay, then no need for an early evacuation from the space. And here on Earth, the problem for some is too much food.
The problem is that for some people, that they start at Thanksgiving and they don't end until after New Year's. They just kind of lose control.
Susan Burke with eDiets.com. Its survey indicates that Americans say they eat more and exercise less during the holidays. The steroid controversy growing muscles. The San Francisco Chronicle has reported that Barry Bonds, for one, did use a steroid substance supplied by the California lab at the center of a doping scandal. Here's Bonds' attorney, Michael Raines.
Barry had no reason to believe, not one reason in the world to believe, he was taking anything illegal.
U.S. Today sports columnist and ABC News consultant Christine Brennan says, oh, really?
Barry Bonds is a guy who cares about everything he puts into his body. He is notorious about being a picky eater, being very aware of everything he's doing. It defies credulity, frankly, that he did not know what he was taking or what he was putting on his skin.
Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona says if baseball doesn't impose drug testing, Congress will take care of it by law. He's given them a month to get it together. Sweet Jesus, 32 pastry chefs in Naples have unveiled what they call the biggest ever nativity scene made entirely of chocolate, nearly 10 feet tall. This is ABC News.
He was the most powerful pharaoh in all of history. A man with 200 wives, over 100 children, and riches beyond imagination. A man with everything. Until the heir to his kingdom was struck down by God. Or was he? A murder investigation of biblical proportions is about to begin. Ramesses, Wrath of God or Man. Tomorrow at 9 Eastern and Pacific, exclusively on the Discovery Channel.
I called this meeting because one of you, and I have my suspicions who it is, left this in my desk.
Generex?
Was it you, Schmidt?
No, sir.
Boyd?
Not me.
It was me, sir.
Ah, I should have known. Thank you, Jones. Finally, something worked.
If you've used dandruff shampoos that didn't work, you're ready for Dandruff. Dandruff penetrates deep down into the scalp to control dandruff and leave hair looking healthy.
Thanks for taking an interest, Jones.
Oh, I'm interested.
Are you finally ready for Dandruff? Use as directed.
Hi, this is Nick King with Marketing Your Business on Power Talk 1200, Sunday mornings at 10:30. If you have questions on how to grow your business using sound marketing and advertising strategies, give me a call, and I'll give you the answers you need to make your business a success.
Nick is an international advertising expert and can explain the role marketing and advertising has in helping you grow sales and revenues. 10:30 to 11:30 Sunday mornings on Power Talk 1200 WPTK.
In celebration of the holidays, Sound Advice wants to give you the best gift of all. They want to give you your sanity back. How? For starters, Sound Advice has a store full of great stuff with things that anybody on your list would be thrilled to get. High-definition TVs, Apple iPods, digital camcorders, portable GPS, DVD players. They've also got experts who take the time to explain everything about anything in language that won't leave you scratching your head. And they're offering you great holiday deals. Up to $1,500 off select big screen TVs, including $1,000 off the original price of Mitsubishi's Diamond line, with no down payment, no interest, and no payments due until 2007. If, after all that, you're still feeling a little stressed, Sound Advice gift cards can even save you the trouble of deciding on a gift. So come to Sound Advice, where you'll find something for everyone, including a little something for yourself. Peace. Sound Advice has extended hours for the holidays. Check soundadvice-fl.com for store locations. Sound Advice. They can untangle your mind.
Hey, Kenny, open up. I know you're in there, yo, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on. Don't make me break down this door. I'm not lending you money when you're 50. All right? That's it. Come on, y'all.
It takes. Don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing?
Helping you, that's what.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles might bother some, but not me. When I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday. But thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's life-saving research, survival rates have increased dramatically. My cancer's in remission. If that means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magby Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
From Joey Reynolds to Matt Drudge, Power Talk 1200 is your weekend choice for Power Talk.
God bless America.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a beautiful
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Guy James here with you, and you know I'd like to thank several of you and many of you. I'm not going to pick anybody out by name right now, but I get so much good mail and great articles sent to me and so forth each and every week. I read each and every one of them, and I get a lot of good information from folks, and I'm so glad to have that each and every week. I really am. So keep up the good work, and you know who you are, and some of these days I'll make a big list and mention it all, but it's good to hear from everybody that's... Sometimes they'll direct you to some... You know, little-known website that you never heard before. And right now, I want to let you know about something. I want to let all of our listeners know right now about something important coming up today. Saturday, December 4th, that's today, from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. There's going to be special Pacifica radio coverage of the Ohio election irregularities with Larry Bensky, Jesse Jackson, Greg Palast, and others. And it's going to be on the Pacifica webcast coming from Columbus, Ohio. Going to talk about the irregularities and improprieties which occurred in that state's election during the November 2nd presidential election. And you can tune into that on the Internet, those of you that are listening on the Internet, www.wbai.org/tuner, TUNER/HTML. Let me say that again for you right now. www.wbai.org/tuner, TUNER/HTML. And you can check that out on the Internet tonight, all of you folks that are listening on the Internet. Those of you locally here on radio, why, you won't be able to hear that. But it's going to be an interesting program for all of you Internet listeners, and I'm going to try and tune into some of that myself. Going back to, hey, let's go to the phones right now, and let's go to... Dave in California. Hi, Dave.
Yes, Guy. When did you say that was going to be happening?
6 to 9 o'clock Eastern Time tonight.
Tonight, okay.
Right after our show, you can tune right into that on the Internet, and 6 to 9 Eastern Time. It's going to be an interesting program.
I'm very glad to hear you coming around to seeing that reality. This is a rigged election, but you've been posing a question that I did want to speak to because I've been studying it ever since the day it happened. I am a rare combination. I am a pilot, I am a psychologist, and what I was seeing on 9/11, I knew that can't be happening. I'm a student of aviation, military and civilian, and in a country such as this with a rapid air defense system in place, even if we had no warnings and we were just inundated with warnings from everywhere that this was about to happen, that it had planes on alert that were actually idling, that as soon as they get the word within 2 minutes, bang, these things are coming at you at twice the speed of a bullet. And sure. They were all on the ground for an hour and 40 minutes while this whole shenanigans went on. That had to come from very high up that said, let it happen. We have a use for this. We need an excuse to invade Iraq. And I will say that the crew that was PNAC, that's become the thieves of our White House, they are psychopathic. We have been so fortunate in history, I think, to have had many good, decent presidents who cared about us, the people. This crew is strictly what is in it for us, and the people exist only to be there to meet their needs.
I couldn't agree more. I see no interest in the needs and will of the people with these people whatsoever. None. Nothing.
We're here just to be used to benefit them, and... it is ugly, and I hold as most accountable these totally devious, disinforming right-wing talk radio hosts you've been speaking of. I mean, they have to know what they're doing. They have to know better. They have to know that they're picking little things, spinning it, reframing it, and lying, and programming other people. You get them. You get callers that they've been told what to do, to call, to try to discredit, to make sound believable, a totally outrageous viewpoint that they're bringing.
Oh, yes, all the time.
I couldn't do what you do. I mean, if people call in wanting to do that with me, I would just have to tell them right off, you know, obviously you've been dropped on your head, and I don't want to waste a lot of air time.
Well, you know, that's the urge I have a lot of times. But, you know, we try and be fair. Don't want anybody saying they didn't get their moment. But
yes, and people are commending you for that. But, I mean, how much time do you allow for the outrage that they are representing, misrepresenting? Disinformation.
Well, I try very hard to express that outrage each and every program, and I agree with what you're saying. I do. I just it's the most frustrating thing in the world to hear some of the things they say. It really is.
I would like to recommend one wonderful book for you and for your audience, and it is called Inside Job. The author is the fellow named Jim Marrs, M-A-R-R-S, Inside Job. Interestingly enough, in our free country, they cannot sell this in bookstores. It tells the whole straight story of how 9/11 happened. And you have to bring it up on the Internet or call Orion Press. There's an 800 number to call if you want to do that.
Well, you know, I wasn't aware. Being a person that's never ordered a lot of things off the Internet, and I had this book recommended to me recently, the one I talked about by Dr. John Sperling called The Great Divide. And let me say that once again. Everybody's got to get this book. He's not some wacko. He's the founder and president of Phoenix University on the Internet, the largest private university in the world. Very wealthy and prestigious man. And he wrote this book called The Great Divide, Retro versus Metro. And so I sent my wife. I didn't send her. She went down to Barnes & Noble to get it for me, and they said, that book's been red flagged. And she said, what do you mean, red flagged? She said, well, we're not allowed to sell it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And so, I mean, easily available on Amazon, but and that's where I got it, and got it just a couple of days. But, my God, red flagged. And I'm assuming the book you're talking about is probably in the same boat.
They won't let it be sold in bookstores. And I tell you, when you read it, it'll be one of the best you'll ever read in terms of laying out clearly for you. Each page you turn, you'll say, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
But that is
well, and after your call, we're going to talk about some of these little spin jobs that some of these guys do. I'm going to prove a couple of them. They always say prove the lies, so I'm going to prove a couple of them here today.
Well, to answer the question you've been asking, that whole Halliburton, Bechtel, Kellogg, Root group, those over there, Chevron, Enron, they are the ones profiting from 9/11 by being allowed to go in there and raid the oil fields of Iraq.
Oh, this has got to be just Christmas time for them ever since the whole thing started. It's been Katie bar the door, let's just go in and rape and pillage everything we can. You know, how many times, Dave, have we heard so far since this war started that there's been huge irregularities in Halliburton's contracts and so forth, and yet what's been done to them? Nothing.
Not a damn thing. There's no accountability at all. You know, and we're over there now making friends with flamethrowers, and they're going to have an election where they're going to put in a U.S. puppet government. That's not going to make the people happy either, because that's going to be another totally rigged election.
Oh, you're right. And you know, the thing is, Americans don't give those people any credit. Those are not stupid people. the Afghanis maybe are pretty uninformed, but the Iraqis are certainly not. And when, you know, Alawi is a CIA puppet, everybody knows that. Everybody in Iraq knows that, and they know the same thing about the guy in Afghanistan over there. It's a shame what we're trying to do. It really is.
I've tied you up a lot. We're a reasonably bright people, too, and look what they just did to us in the election.
Well, we're not quite as bright as I thought we were, Dave. Not nearly as bright as I thought we were.
Well, thank you for being there, Guy. You do a wonderful job.
Thanks for your call. I do appreciate it very, very much. You can call us, and by the way, pay attention to these numbers I want to give you right now. They're going to leave one out. We discovered we're having technical problems with one of our numbers today. So call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502. Skip 7503. Don't call that one. 7504, Biz says, or 2 either. I don't know what Biz is trying to say to me. Anyway, she better turn on your mic and tell me what you're going to say, Biz. I probably gave you the wrong information. Anyway, call us, and we'll be glad to talk to you today. I want to go right now and prove to you how these guys spin things and how they tell these wild lies and get away with it. How many of you saw Rush Limbaugh last week in front of that Claremont group that gave him some kind of an award? You saw that, right? And he got out and he was starting to give a speech. And here's what he said.
I heard Chris Matthews on TV the other night after this incident in Fallujah. See, I mentioned his name and people starting to laugh at that now. That's not good for him. He was asking, I forget who his expert guest was. It might have been a CIA agent. And Matthew said, well, if we were a decent country, you think we could make a deal with bin Laden? If we were... Now, he wasn't saying things that extreme before the election. I mean, there's a retrenching going on.
No, you see, Rush, there's no retrenching going on because that's not what Chris Matthews said. You took it out of context and tried to make it something completely different. Rush Limbaugh, very evidently there, tried to make it seem like Chris Matthews said we were not a decent country. Do we all agree on that? I think we do. We just heard what he said. What really happened was Matthews said, well, if we were, he was talking to the CIA agent. And once again, Limbaugh said, well, if we were a decent country, do you think we could make a deal with bin Laden? If we were a decent country, Limbaugh said. Well, Matthews neither suggested that the United States is not a decent country, nor that we should make a deal with bin Laden. He started out by talking to this CIA guy and says, suppose we were a good country. Suppose we were a good country. He didn't say decent country. Suppose we were a good country and an even-handed country, all right? Would that make him any less hostile to us, talking about bin Laden? And the guy says, we are a good country, sir, to start with. And Matthews, to clear up what the guy said, in other words, in his eyes, in bin Laden's eyes. Okay, now that makes it completely clear. The guy says, yes, in bin Laden's eyes. Matthews said, what are the problems beside Middle East and the oil kingdoms? And the guy says, with bin Laden, his opposition is based on support for Israel and support for tyrannies. He did not say, he did not mean that we were not a good and decent country. Didn't say that at all. And yet there's Limbaugh on C-SPAN giving this speech, making it sound like Chris Matthews has said we're not a decent country, and that's not what he said. And then we have this other fellow. You know, the guy I love so much, I just love to talk about him right now, Mr. Falwell. Let's go to Mr. Falwell if we can here.
I want to ask Reverend Falwell about something and broaden the conversation.
Jim Rush.
You talked about Iraq, the war on terrorism. Something that you said 2 days after September 11th when you were with Reverend Pat Robertson. I fear that September 11th is only the beginning. If, in fact, God continues to lift the curtain and allow the enemies of America to give us probably what we deserve, I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, all of them who've tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen.
And I went on to say, and a sleeping church, a lethargic church, likewise is responsible.
A report came out that the state with the lowest level of divorce is Massachusetts. The states with the highest level are the so-called Bible Belt in the South.
Yes.
Also, and they watch Desperate Housewives.
Also, Desperate Housewives.
That's right.
Widely viewed television series, particularly in the South.
Because
why is it that the red states,
the South doesn't belong to the New Testament church any more than the North? We have a responsibility to preach the gospel. But I would take that poll a little further. Among born-again, Bible-believing Christians who take the Bible as the Word of God, you'll find those stats nonplussed.
They don't want...
Au contraire, Mr. Falwell, that's not true. Nothing you said there is true. He did not, and you can find the transcript of what he says all over the Internet about him saying that, well, when he put the blame on 9/11 on the gays and the lesbians and all that, and then he said he went on to say in a sleeping church, a lethargic church, likewise is responsible. That is false. He did not blame any church for the terrorist attacks. He did not say that whatsoever. He added that on Rush's show to try and take some of the onus off of him, and we caught him. It's an out-and-out lie. He said that the attacks were probably what we deserve, but that remark seemed to suggest that the United States, the attacks because of the action of the groups he named, and the church was responsible only because it didn't stop those group movements. Later, in his 700 Club appearance, Falwell noted that the numerous posts September 11th prayer meetings at churches across the United States could be God's call to revival. So there we catch the ever-so-right Reverend Mr. Falwell in a huge lie, claiming that the divorce rate is lower among born-again Christians than it is among other Americans. Absolutely false. Absolutely false. He knows it. Everybody knows that. He also went on to say that this Desperate Housewife show is really popular in the South. Falwell, without any knowledge of it whatsoever, he doesn't know. He has no idea about it. And Russert noted that Newsweek magazine describes Desperate Housewives creator Mark Cherry as a conservative gay Republican. And Falwell replied, well, the fact that he's a gay Republican means he should join the Democratic Party. So there you are, Mr. Falwell caught in a flat-out lie, three of them, actually. So, you know, Jerry Falwell is an out-and-out liar. He's a charlatan. How he gets anybody to follow him is a mystery to me. You could not follow the preaching of Mr. Jerry Falwell and I don't know. You couldn't think for yourself. You just couldn't. And it goes for Pat Robertson, too. You know, they had him on Hannity and Combs last week. And Hannity Combs says, and Combs said to Pat Robertson, is George W. Bush God's choice for president? And Robert said, I think, you know, I said it on another show, and I'll say it again. The Chinese emperor used to say, does he have the favor of heaven? And I think George Bush has the favor of heaven. He's a godly man. He prays on a daily basis. He wants to do what's right before the Lord. And I think God has honored him. And I think this second victory, and then Combs interrupted me and said, when you say he's got the favor of heaven, are you implying that he is God's choice and that God preferred him over John Kerry? And Robertson said, obviously, if you think the Lord rules in the affairs of men, he did, because he sure won. And he goes on to say, doesn't that mean at one time, Pat, that Bill Clinton was God's choice for president? And Robertson said, I think that God just wanted to bring America to its knees so we'd start praying harder. So when their candidate wins, it's God's will. And when the Democrats win, why, it's a sign that God's unhappy with America. Do you see anything wrong with any of that right there? You talk about misleading charlatans. That's exactly what he and Falwell are. Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, guy?
Great.
People are going to accuse you of Christian bashing, and let me just throw in something. If you're out there and you're a good Christian, these people don't follow the Ten Commandments, and you're not allowed to follow somebody that breaks the Ten Commandments. So don't get mad at guy. Ask why these people don't tell the truth, and why are you following them?
That's right.
You let Pat Robertson a little bit off the hook when Falwell made his awful announcement after 9/11, and it was because of the gays and secularism. Robertson's right there going, amen, amen. And when asked about it later, he said his earpiece was defective. He didn't know what was said, which was a blatant lie.
Oh, man. I remember that. Now that comes back, that's for sure. That's a killer.
And another distortion of, have you heard of this guy, Rush Dirty Needle Limbaugh? He was made a huge distortion of Senator Zell Miller. Of course, I don't agree with Zell Miller. You don't agree with him, but he's not going to come out and misrepresent himself. Zell Miller used a quote on the air from an Army chaplain. I think it was a Catholic Army chaplain. He was talking basically about the four freedoms and how every one of those freedoms doesn't come from the politicians. It comes from the guy carrying the rifle out on the field. That's where our freedom comes from. And Rush Limbaugh said, now, where did that quote come from? I'm having them check it now. And a few minutes later, he came on the air and said, oh, that quote about where our freedoms comes from came from Senator Zell Miller of Georgia, which is another misrepresentation.
Yeah, actually, that quote about the four freedoms really came from Franklin Roosevelt.
Okay, I knew that, but this was specifically giving the soldier in the field credit for every freedom that we ever had. On this issue of the Republicans like to preach to the Democrats about how we need to do things like our forefathers did and try not to be activists. And I want to say something about the attack on overtime pay, which the majority of the House and and the majority of the Senate voted no to interfere with overtime pay, and the House of Representatives put in a new rule that our forefathers never heard of called the majority of the majority.
Right.
And that means that the majority of the Republicans have to vote to get what we want. And if you really want to hurt our country, go out and find all the people that get overtime and hurt them. And that's what the Republicans are going to do, and they're going to change the rules to do it. And you can thank Mr. Hastert for that. He's cut from the same cloth as Tom DeLay. So when they talked about activism and how terrible it is, maybe they ought to look in the mirror.
Oh, you're so right, Bill. This majority of the majority rule, I had to read that a half a dozen times because I kept going, no, there's a misprint here, that can't be. But it be.
Well, when you have to distort the English language to get what you want, how far are they going to go? And you were talking earlier about how the big radio companies, and you know a lot more about this than me, but I was listening to Neil Bortz, who I'm not a fan of Neil Bortz, but according to him, Clear Channel has a big interest in Dirty Needle Limbaugh being successful. And Neil Bortz is supposed to be an also-ran. Like you said earlier, if you take Limbaugh, you have to take these other people. But it's happened to him where if his percent of the market starts to go up by the free market, Neil Bortz has dropped. And he was complaining about that, and I'm sure he's going to be retaliated on. But I don't like Bortz, but at least he's like John McCain. He's got a mouth on him, and he'll come out and say it.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. Nobody ever accused Neil Bortz of not sticking up for himself.
That's right.
It's a dogfight to get airtime. It is. It really is. I think people that say, well, why don't you just go do this? Why don't you just go get a show here? They don't understand. They really don't.
Well, let me tell you how naive I am. After we have to listen in this particular area of Southwest Florida, we listen to right-wing radio. They even have to repeat the shows to keep them going. And I was so naive that I thought during the Thanksgiving break, instead of repeating that stuff for the third time, maybe they put the Guy James show on there just to have a little change of pace. That's how naive I was. That never was going to happen.
No.
Well, quickly on this vote on January 20th. I mean, our soldiers are over there right now in Iraq trying to make it safe enough to have a Democratic vote. Now, what are we going to go by? Are we going to go by the commanders in the field to let us know when it would be safe? Or are we going to have an idiotic president who's irrelevant, who wants to be relevant, and he's going to stand there and have a tantrum January 20th, and our commanders have got to abide by that at the expense of our troops? Now, what kind of insanity is this?
He hasn't listened to him yet. Him and Rumsfeld, neither one has listened to the commanders in the field yet. How long ago was it they asked for more troops and they didn't get them?
No, they didn't get them.
And this election, you've heard the same reports I've heard from commanders in the field out there to say this is pure folly to try and do this election by January the 30th.
Yes, and one last thing that this, a lot of people think we got that Medicare bill for prescription drugs, didn't do anything to help the seniors. It only helped the medical people. It helped the insurance companies. And that's what we're going to get on this privatization of Social Security. $2 trillion we have to go into debt to make this work. It's going to help the CPAs. It's going to help the stock people. But in the end, if any more money is made than you would have gotten ordinarily, the government is planning on keeping that money. So if you want to let the term bait and switch run through your mind, if you're a young person, you better call your Republican leaders and ask them if there is going to be a surplus higher than what you would have gotten, who's going to get it? Are you going to get it, or is the government going to keep it?
Oh, absolutely. You're so right. And, I hope to be able to talk about that a little later on in the program. Regarding Bush's campaign to try and privatize the Social Security, Bush claimed any overhaul would make no changes in the benefits for the people in near retirement. But now they're singing a completely different tune. And just the other day, White House economic advisor, what's his name, Greg Mankiw, he admitted just yesterday that Bush's plan to privatize Social Security would indeed include major cuts in guaranteed benefits for future retirees.
I think he's the same guy that went on to boast that it wouldn't affect the tax cut. You know, that's the main thing we had to keep in mind. But if you're a young person out there, don't go for this. There's people out there like Grover Norquist who want to destroy Social Security. Now, how do you do it?
Oh,
you divide and conquer. And if we have to take less, let's all take less. Let's don't just destroy the system that we've had since the 1930s, and please don't trust the Republicans.
Well, they've been shown over and over again that they can't be trusted with that. The money will end up in the hands of the rich and powerful. That's all they're after.
Guy, keep it up. Thanks so much.
Thanks for your call, Bill. Good to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7504, and 7505. Now, Biz is telling me again. She says line 3 is bad. Which is it, Biz? 7500. She's typing this out. 7502 is bad, all right? 7500. Let's do this right. 602-888-602-7500, 7501, 7503, 04, and 05. There, I have got it right. I think Biz will be smiling now. So I think we got it right finally. You can call us on one of those lines. Just don't use 7502, okay? Hey, they've gotten pretty doggone bold right now, don't you think? Have you noticed how bold the Republicans have gotten since the election? I mean, really coming out of the woodwork. It's not unusual, of course, to hear Ann Coulter or Tucker Carlson being bold, but some of the things they've said lately have shocked even me. Coulter, the other day, was on Hannity and Combs, and she said, "I suppose it's always, I might add, the worst Americans who end up going up to Canada. The Tories after the Revolutionary War, the Vietnam draft dodgers after Vietnam, and now after this election, you have the blue state people moving up there." Oh, thanks a lot, Ann. Just love that, Ann Coulter. And regarding Canada, and she said they better hope the United States doesn't roll over one night and crush them. We're lucky we allow them to exist on the same continent. She's talking about our friends, the Canadians. She says we could have taken them out so easily. And then later on they had Tucker Carlson on with Wolf Blitzer, and he was on with one of the politicians from Canada, and Carlson said, "Without the U.S., Canada is essentially Honduras, but colder and much less interesting." And what else did he say here? "Canada needs the United States. The United States does not need Canada, and by the way, they're our biggest trading partner." Carlson also said, "Canada essentially is a made-in-Taiwan version of the United States." He insulted them every way he could. These are our friends, the Canadians. And we have the likes of the Republicans like Tucker Carlson and Ann Coulter making fun of them at every opportunity. I don't understand. I really don't. Let's go to Trimble in Fort Myers.
Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi.
Guy, I wanted to say, a couple weeks ago, you were going back and forth with the right wing, but redneck, blah, 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 so on and so forth, if you remember.
Yeah.
Okay. And at one point, a guy, I think what he was going to say was, he was asking you, "Oh, you're not going to unify behind Bush." I believe, but he got cut off. What I would like to say is, I am not unifying. I'm not going to unify behind Bush. I find myself almost hoping that America does not win in Iraq. Now, I'm not saying anything against our troops. I love our troops. I love our people. You know, I almost find myself in that position. And a third thing I wanted to say.
You know, the best thing would be it could happen if they just sent them home right now.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want to see anybody killed. Nope. Our troops are their troops.
Not another one.
And a lot of people have said, "Well, you don't love your country," meaning me, okay? You know what? I love the planet I live on. Do I love my country? I was brought up here. If I was brought up in Iraq, I'm sure I'd love where I was brought up there. You know, but I love the planet Earth. I think we should think in bigger terms, you know, rather than just this country, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're the strongest country in the world. Who cares? Who cares what, you know, and that's not going to last forever. One of these days, we won't. Somebody's going to be stronger than us, and, you know.
I agree with you. And then what? After we've crapped all over everybody for a bunch of years, then what?
Right.
How popular are we going to be?
Yeah. It's just a matter of time. And right now, we are weakening ourselves by being over there in Iraq. And all that stuff we're doing over there, you know, we're hurrying up that time where we're not going to be the strongest country on the planet Earth. That's what I'd like to say.
I agree very much. I do. Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
I don't know. How long is it going to take before we understand that we're making a mistake over there? Have the Iraqis shown any inclination whatsoever that they want to become the free nation that Bush says he wants them to be? Have you seen anything like that going on over there? Have the Sunnis and the Shias sat down at a table and made peace? I don't think so. And they've been at each other for how many years now? For 500, 600, 700, 800 years? And Bush is going to win and be an outside force in this country and kill a bunch of their citizens, innocent citizens, non-combatants, kill maybe 80, 100,000 of them. And they're going to say, okay, let's just call off everything right now. Let's forget the past. These are the Iraqis talking. Let's just forget the past. And the Sunnis and the Shias are going to say, hey, what, guys, let's shake hands and let's be friends. That's going to happen. Let's go to Richard Nalva. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, you made a comment a minute ago when the gentleman was talking about the best thing to do would be to pull all the troops out of Iraq right now and bring them all home.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question. Somebody walked up to your mother and slapped her in the face, would you just say, oh, I understand why you did that, no big deal? Or would you get a little bit irate?
Well, I'd get irate.
Kind of what happened to us. You know, they attacked us.
Richard, you're not gonna get away with that here. The Iraqis did not attack us.
You're right. You're absolutely right. They supported the groups that did.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Even if you back Mr. Bush has said that, Mr. Cheney has said that, Mr. Rumsfeld has said that, and Colin Powell has said that they have found no link between Saddam Hussein and the Al Qaeda people. None. The Al Qaeda people were fearful of operating inside of Iraq. There was no connection. And it pains me that thousands, perhaps millions of people voted thinking that that's true, and it's just absolutely not. I mean, you can say it all you want to, but it's just not true, Richard. It's just not true.
Well, why are you thinking that the minority of the people know the facts and the majority don't?
Sometimes that's just how it works out.
I'm asking, why do you
think? Okay, I'll tell you why. Because of the wide proliferation of right-wing talk radio. And I think that's it in a nutshell.
So you think that the right-wing talk radio has completely overcome the whole the television media?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, they have. Millions upon millions of people listening to Hannity and Savage and O'Reilly and Limbaugh and those people every day and pounding that same message in. And they've, you know, all of those people I just mentioned know that what I just said is true, that there is no link between us two. But they've just like Mr. Bush, they've gone around the bend there a little bit and stretched the truth a little bit and got everybody that wants to think that the Iraqis attacked us, they've talked them into it. And, you know, I congratulate them on their success of being propagandists, but my God, it's simply not true. And so, you know...
Well, why do you think that what they say is not true?
I don't think what they say is not true. It's been a proven fact that that's not true. And Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and all the people I mentioned have admitted that it's not true. So why don't the people on the right, when their own president has said that, why don't they accept that as truth?
I missed the part where Bush...
Oh, yeah. One time after another. Of course, he always says it. He always says it when he's not on, a big interview on TV, but being interviewed in a newspaper. So, no, there is no. But when directly asked that question, no, we have found no link between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. And
okay, well, do you believe that they found weapons of mass destruction over there, or no?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No proof whatsoever.
Well, then, okay.
You don't think they did, do you?
Absolutely.
Where are they?
Well, they found them in those missile heads. They found those missile heads that had the...
You didn't hear later that those were so far gone, so far outdated that they were no longer effective whatsoever. They weren't even a factor. They couldn't
would
be.
Would they have been effective 5 years ago?
Well, I don't know what the age on them, but they'd long ago.
I don't either, but you got to remember that this war started 3 years ago, and if they were effective 5 years ago...
You're not going to split hairs with me like that. You know, they were talking mushroom clouds and all that.
You're right. Well, you know, there was people in the media that were talking about that kind of stuff.
Mr. Cheney himself said he didn't want to see this happen with a mushroom cloud.
Right.
Condoleezza Rice said, we could be facing a mushroom cloud. They built this up. There were no weapons of mass destruction. None. Zero. And Richard, I want you to know, you know darn well, stick with me on this, that if they found real weapons of mass destruction, they would bring those babies over and put them on a trailer and have a ticker tape parade down the streets of New York City just to show everybody. Well, that's right.
They did what they had to do to win.
That's right, they did. But I just, you know, everybody check this out. Everybody check this out. They didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. You think I'm lying to you? I'm not. They didn't, and there was no connection. So, hey, Richard, thanks for your call. You're in Alva?
Actually, now I am in Alva.
Now you are.
I was in Ogden when I called.
Oh, okay.
There's one more thing I wanted to ask you, but I'll be daggone if I can remember.
Well, remember it next time.
I know what it was.
Yeah.
You don't think that those conservative talk show hosts are based, you think they're actually changing minds? I'm under the impression they're just preaching to the choir.
No, they're changing minds. They are.
You think so?
Yeah. You take somebody... Take somebody with a clean slate that's not real smart and put them in front of those guys, and I'll guarantee you in a week's time they'll have them swung over. I guarantee that. I mean, they're good. They're good. They're really good. I give them credit. I don't like them, but I give them credit.
So people that have a clean slate that aren't real smart will tend toward being a conservative?
You're not going to trap me into that.
Although I have said,
and I will repeat it for your benefit, I have said that 59 million people voted for Mr. Bush, and a whole lot of them weren't real smart. I did say that, so I'll stick with it. Thanks for your call, Richard.
Hey, Guy, you know what? I really enjoy listening to your show because there aren't any shows out there that come from your viewpoint.
That's right.
I don't always agree, but I surely enjoy hearing the other side of it.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Guy. Talk to you later. Bye.
We've got another call. We've got Richard in Naples. Another Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I usually call in and mention my name is Dick from Naples, but too many people call me at work and interrupt me, tell me how wrong I was, and I spent half the day to defend the conversation I may have had with you on a Saturday. But that's not the reason I call. The reason I call, Guy, is just a side note of your last caller was talking about weapons of mass destruction and not finding them in Iraq. The other thing that the president sold the Congress on was the fact that they were also an imminent threat, that had we not gone over there and straightened him out, that perhaps the U.S. would have been hit by his so-called weapons of mass destruction. But again, that's not my primary purpose for this call. My primary purpose for this call is We've, since this thing all began, this debacle, we've captured Saddam Hussein. He is in a jail somewhere, I would assume in Iraq. And when is he coming to trial?
Hey, that's what I wondered. It's like he doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, if this is all about Iraq and weapons of mass destruction and we wanted to take down a leader, well, we've got the leader. Once he's going on trial, we'll pay for his crime.
You know, and what's going to happen when he does go on trial? Won't that be a circus? I mean, that'll be something. That really will. There'll be some Iraqis that still love the guy. There'll be those that hate him. It's going to be wild.
They'll probably have U.S. attorneys defend him, and they'll probably be Republicans at that. They'll create the outcome, and they'll have attorneys that'll find the guy not guilty.
You know, Dick, I got to tell you. Regarding Saddam Hussein, I don't think they want him talking anytime soon in front of a tribunal or a trial.
Well, if the truth was known, they were hoping that PFC that found him, they shot him because he didn't shoot Saddam and left him in that hole they found him in.
Yeah.
This is going to be a debacle bringing this guy to trial.
Oh, it is. It'll
probably happen after Bush is out of office, though. He won't have anything to do with it. He'll blame it on the Democrats. He'll blame it on the Democratic Party. If he was still in office, he'd have handled it a little differently. No matter what the outcome.
Right, I agree. Hey, Richard, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Guy.
Good to hear from you. Let's go to Fred in Fort Myers. Hiya, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak about the weapons of mass destruction. I don't see how anyone besides Saddam Hussein and maybe his top, right-hand man or whatever, could possibly know if there truly were weapons of mass destruction or not, because, for one, let's just assume he did have them. Of course, he would hide them or sell them or get rid of them. But I mean, he had so much time before we entered that country to do who knows what with them. So, I mean, when I hear you say that, you know that there weren't any, I mean, I don't know that there were or there weren't.
Well, let's follow the logical path here for a minute, Fred. Let's follow that.
Okay.
Saddam is sitting there, and he has some weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, tactical nukes, whatever. He's got this stuff. And we've got George Bush and our army sitting across the border saying, look, we're coming after you. We're coming after you, and I'm going to give you a certain amount of days to get out of the country, which is Bush told him at first, beat it, go away. And then he told him he had a certain amount of days to give up his nukes, which everybody knew he didn't have. Everybody knew that.
Well,
I've had Scott Ritter on the program. Scott Ritter is an expert in that. He said he didn't have them. But you're Saddam Hussein. But you're Saddam Hussein, and you've got these weapons, and the Americans say they're coming after you. So we start storming across the border. What are you going to do? You going to sit there and eat those weapons, or what? You going to save them for a rainy day?
I think if he was smart and he was looking at the big picture, he would make it look like he didn't have any. So then he could gain world support and say, look, I didn't have anything. And
save himself? He wasn't going to. World support be damned. He wasn't going to save himself. He had to know if the Americans got a hold of him, they were either going to kill him or they're going to put him on trial, and there's not going to be any more Saddam Hussein one way or another. He knew that.
Well, I think he knew no matter what weapons he had, if he'd use them, he was still going to lose. So his best option was to make it look like, look, I didn't have anything, you know, and he knew all these countries were opposed to us going in there.
He showed no inclination over the years to be nice, nicey-nice and not use his weapons on other people when he had them. Look what he did to the Iranians. Look what he did down in Kuwait. Look what he did to his own people.
Well, that's all the more reason that it's a good thing he's gone, whatever reason we went in there for.
Oh, I don't doubt that it's a good thing that he's gone. I've never said that it's not good that he's gone, but at what price? And I've always maintained that there was another less costly way to go in there and get him. I thought this was definitely a special operations project and not a deal where we had to start a war over it.
But, I mean, everyone would agree the 1,000 or so or whatever soldiers that have died is a horrible loss. But how many hundreds of thousands of future Iraqis aren't going to be mass murdered now, you know?
Well,
I just wanted to ask you one other thing. Did you ever hear a report about a satellite images of a convoy going into, like a very long convoy going into Syria, like days or a week before we invaded?
Oh, we heard about that, but it turned out to be bogus. I mean, there was nothing to it. But believe me, you're smart enough to know that. I can tell you're smart enough to know that if we had found any weapons of mass destruction, they'd have yelled it from the rooftops, and they didn't because they haven't.
I mean, you always say that you only state facts. I mean, you can't possibly know whether there truly were or weren't.
Oh, now look. Follow the progression of things. First, they said he has them. You know, out and out.
Nine nations intelligence organizations.
Yeah, so first of all, they said he had weapons of mass destruction. And then when that didn't work, they said, well, he had a program of weapons of mass destruction, and then when that one didn't pass on, they said, well, he had intentions of making, you know, it just kept backpedaling away from it because they could never prove anything. You know, they were wrong. They've admitted they were wrong, and they have admitted they were wrong.
I don't know about that.
Well, they certainly have. They certainly have. You know, Bush has said that he regrets it, and Cheney has said he regrets it, and Colin Powell has.
Where did they say they regret it? I've never heard them.
Where? Well, they regretted that they had faulty intelligence. That's what they've said.
Right.
So, you know, there were no weapons. Don't kid yourself about that, Fred.
I don't think they regret the end outcome. I mean, yeah, things.
Do they regret having 1,280 soldiers killed? Do they regret having 10 or 12,000 of them seriously wounded? Really, you think they do?
Oh, of course.
You think it wasn't worth it for them?
No, but I mean, compare that to Vietnam. Compare it to any other war. It's the least casualties of any conflict ever.
I wouldn't trade one American life, not one, to get Saddam Hussein. Not one.
The 1,000 or so soldiers that died signed up for the military, knowing there's a chance they could be called to duty to die.
Oh, certainly, but they didn't plan on going to their deaths over a lie. That's the thing.
The 3,000 people who died in the trade towers didn't sign up for anything.
That's right. But you also, you know, why bring them into the conversation? Because they were not as a result of something Saddam Hussein did.
Well, I heard there was proof that, who is the lead terrorist?
Massawi.
Massawi. They had proof that he was actually met with, I believe it was Saddam Hussein's son or his right-hand man.
Now they said that, and they backed away from it. You know, everything they tried along those lines to prove it, they backed away from every one of them. They didn't have it. And you know, with our modern satellite technology and all, you know darn well. We can read a newspaper. We can read a newspaper from a satellite, and someone's going to say they sneaked weapons out of there or had them, and we didn't know it. We knew what they had. Fred, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hi.
Does it not amaze you that people still trying to prove that those weapons were there?
Well, it does, and I'll talk to that a little bit later. But you know, just something, he compares something about Vietnam that we don't have the number of deaths, but you know, it is a fact that between 1962 and 1964 there were less than 400 people dying in Vietnam. In this war, the first 6 months of this war, there was over 400 people that died in the first.
Excellent point.
Of this war. So you know, you got to compare apples to apples. Actually, what I called about was the rule of law. You know, we heard from the Republicans quite a bit that about the rule of law when Clinton was in office, but they don't seem to want to apply it to Tom DeLay, and they're changing the law just for him, just when he's about to be disciplined. You know, I think that and not just passing the law to keep him in office if he gets indicted, I think is something only a scandal would do. But I think that doing that behind doors so we won't know who voted for it is also unethical.
Oh, Juan, and did you hear? I just heard this the other day from a legislator, and I about dropped dead when I heard this. Well, maybe not dead, but anyway, they had a fundraiser to raise money for DeLay's defense, and now they have found out that the you know, for all these charges they wanted to defend him, and they were raising money for lawyers to defend him, and they found out that at the fundraiser he accepted a $100,000 check from another lobbyist.
You know, when I see people and television congressmen or senators say that it's, you know, it's unethical and it's bad for sportsmen to take steroids and to fight in the court, that sets a bad example for our children. What the heck does this do? I mean, this is worse than anything. I think that those congressmen and senators should just shut up when the people use steroids and fight, because what they've done is far worse for our country.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think that the Republicans control the mic, and that's why they control the vote. You know, we still see Bush stickers. I don't know if you've seen them still. I guess maybe they haven't gotten the word that he won. But you know what the irony of it all, guy, is that invariably these stickers are, you see it on used cars or low end cars, and these people don't realize that they voted against themselves or their best interest and best interest of their family, and they voted for a weaker America. I don't understand. I haven't seen a Mercedes or a high end car with a sticker. It's just these people that listen, I think, to the right-wing people like Rush and you know.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Hey, we got to move on. Thank you, Juan, for your call.
Okay, Rush.
Good point you made.
Okay.
Hey, let's go to Brandon in Fort Myers. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Guy. Just a quick question for you. During the election, you know, if you look at all the election coverage and everything beforehand, I understand totally your contempt and distaste for, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. They're clearly idiots. But I found Bill O'Reilly to have some of the better and truly fair and balanced. I mean, he would be accused of sitting on the fence too much and not leaning any other way. And I'm curious why you have so much contempt for him.
First of all, the man was accused of sitting on the fence by the right-wingers. You've never heard me say that. You have to admit that he definitely leans heavily to the right. Once in a while, the crafty part of Bill O'Reilly, and he's good at it. Every now and then, he'll throw a bone to the left. so that he can say that he's fair and balanced.
I apologize for interrupting, but no. I see that he's not necessarily leaning to the right. He's just more of a traditionalist rather than a conservative.
Well,
just has the values that may be a little more conservative, but certainly doesn't pander. I mean, when it was found out that Bush, you know, there were no WMDs, and a guy called in a couple minutes ago talking about he still thought there were. You know, you and I both know there weren't. And O'Reilly was one of the first to demand an apology from the administration.
Well, and he said, Brandon, if I find out that there's no weapons of mass destruction, I'll never trust Bush again.
Right.
And has he taken that route? No, he hasn't. But I admit he's thrown a bone to the left now and then. But you know, I'm disgusted with Bill O'Reilly right now, because of this recent episode. And although it didn't go to court, we know when you pay somebody off millions of dollars that you're most likely you've done what they're alleging that he've done, and he refuses to talk about it. We've called his office, tried to get an interview with him, and they've said, you know, pretty much no, hell no. I don't blame him, I guess, for not wanting to talk about it again, but there he is. He's rich and powerful, and he's got the opportunity. I mean, he's shown to be probably a pervert, a sexual deviant of some kind, and he's on national TV. He's written a children's book. I have a terrible distaste for Bill O'Reilly right now. That probably
well,
the worst
maybe,
it's been.
Maybe so, but also one last thing real quick. You're not kidding about it being a circus when Saddam goes on trial. I mean, it'll hold nothing to the O.J. trial.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
It'll be quite a thing, and I'm waiting. You know, when they're going to put Bush on trial? That's next.
Well,
we got to get on that.
Well, it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take. Going to take another nation to do that, because he's pretty well insulated here with the Congress and the Supreme Court and all that. He, in my opinion, he's had impeachment offenses, but he's so insulated from the Congress impeachment and the Supreme Court that I don't think there's any chance of that happening. Thanks very much for your call, Brandon.
You.
Ah, yes. We need not think about anything happening to Mr. Bush along those lines, because he has it made. He has built the wall around himself. He is totally protected, insulated. There's no way anybody can get to George Bush right now. If they found out that he was clubbing baby seals like those guys up in why, there wouldn't anything happen to him, because he's George W. Bush. I've never seen it like this before. A president so shielded from the press. I mean, the press truly and very obviously now is totally intimidated by the Bush administration. The press conferences, aren't they polite little press people now? There's no Sam Donaldson's up there in the front row beating on the president anymore. No, 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 no. Or you'll go sit in the back. Uh-huh. You'll go sit in the back and you won't get to ask any more questions. That's how they do it. And then when your network finds out you don't get to ask any more questions at the press conference, they'll get rid of you because you're no good to them anymore. That's how it works. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show. We got news at the top of the hour coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to the Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida.
The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Major drug thug extradited to the U.S. to face the music. I'm Larry Jacobs, and Gilberto Rodriguez Orjuela has been flown to Miami, becoming the most powerful Colombian trafficker ever to face U.S. justice.
This is the first time we have had a founder of a Colombian cartel extradited to the United States. That will send a shockwave to the rest of the cocaine trafficking organizations in Colombia.
DEA Administrator Karen Tandy. Suicide bombers busy today in Iraq. You could hear them clearing up the scene near Mosul, where a car bomber took out at least 7 Kurdish militiamen. A double car bomb slammed a police station just outside the Green Zone in Baghdad. Iraq's Defense Ministry Secretary General Braska Noresh Hussein says nothing will deter the elections.
Only through election we can create democracy, we can create freedom, we can create human rights, we can create federalism, we can create a united Iraq.
The National Guard needs help.
In the past, retired active duty soldiers routinely re-enlisted in the part-time Army National Guard. Now the Guard is falling short of its recruiting goals. It's hiring more than 1,000 recruiters to fix that. In Pennsylvania alone, the Guard is enlisting only two-thirds of the soldiers they need each month. Many Americans now avoiding the part-time soldier work because so many Guardsmen are being called to active duty. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Too fat to fly, an airline passenger in California says a flight attendant crossed the line when he asked for an aisle seat. Andrew Cortez concedes he's overweight.
She says, you know what would make you more comfortable? She says, if you would stop eating.
Slow burn.
I said, that is not a nice thing to say. And she looked me up and down again, and she said, well, you know what, honey, the truth usually isn't.
Cortez says his complaint to the airline has not resulted in any action. America West does say it expects better from its employees and is investigating. The New Yorker who recently won a $149 million lottery, according to the New York Post, the wife of parking attendant Juan Rodriguez has filed for divorce, demanding her take. ABC News.
This Sunday, ABC presents a world premiere television event that is destined to become an unforgettable experience for you and your family.
There are five people you meet in heaven. Each one of us was in your life for a reason.
Academy Award winners John Voight, Ellen Burstyn, and Emmy Award winner Michael Imperioli.
Life has to end, Eddie. Love doesn't.
From the best-selling novel, Mitch Albom's The Five People You Meet in Heaven. This Sunday at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC.
There's only one name left on our list, Sadie. What are we going to get Sadie?
Well, she seems to love that sweater her folks got her last year.
Maybe a bed.
Oh, isn't that a little personal?
How about a gift card?
Great idea.
Boy, she's one lucky puppy.
Need the perfect gift for a pet on your list who seems to have everything? For all those four-legged friends and their parents, fetch a PetSmart gift card and get a matching squeaky dog toy for only $4.99 with any gift card purchase while supplies last. Season's greetings from PetSmart.
Guy James, proud American patriot and host of America's number one Democratic talk show, brings his bold brand of liberal talk radio to Southwest Florida. Now, here's Guy James.
I invite you to join me every Saturday for a look at the way it really is. You've already heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth.
Guy James, every Saturday, 3 to 6, right here on Power Talk 1200. It's the Guy James Show.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Comer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader. Wink News.
Starling County.
Digging deeper.
Debate over who won is just beginning.
Going further.
As riot police begin to clear off the streets,
more people are being taken under.
Getting answers.
Punta Gorda.
Hendry County. Arcadia. Fort Myers.
Wink News. The team you turn to.
Towards the Southwest Florida coast.
The team you trust. Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Teaching you to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.
I get very upset about all the phony charities out there.
He's Clark Howard.
How do you protect yourself? Well, when you get solicited by phone, don't donate by a phone call. The phonies are going to try in a phone call to get your credit card number out of you. When somebody calls to ask for money, only ask them to send you literature. The phonies are going to hang up at that point.
There's more Clark Howard, weekdays 2 to 4 on Power Talk 1200.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show right up until 6 o'clock. Hey, let's take a little poll, all of my listeners out there on the internet and here locally. If we were to change the time of this program, when would you prefer it to be? Huh? When could you listen? Could you listen later? Could you would you listen earlier? What do you think? I'd like to know what you think. And those of you on the internet, we've got that thread started. And I've told everybody we're flying blind today. We can't see the internet today because our computer's down here. I know you've got a thread, the Guy James Show, going on democraticunderground.com. Let us know on there what you think. And when we get home tonight, we'll check in and find out what all of you think about that. And our local callers, anybody call in today, want to throw their 2 cents worth in on that, might go right ahead. 888-602-7500, 7502, or not 7502, scratch that one today, 7500, 7501, 7503, 04, and 479-5540 here locally. We'd like you to give us a call and let us know what you think about that. I'm looking for that address that somebody wanted to, I'll find it sooner or later, somebody wanted me to give them the address on that aisle demonstration that's coming up. I'll get that in just a little while for you. Well, it's not the demonstration. Okay, here we go. I found it. Saturday to today from 6 to 9 p.m., right as soon as the show ends, up until 9 p.m., on Pacifica's internet station. Greg Palast, Jesse Jackson are going to be the featured speakers, and I know many of you know who Greg Palast is, one of the best investigative journalists alive today, maybe the best. Their address at Pacifica Internet, and you local people won't be able to hear this, but on the internet, www.wbai.org/tuner, TUNER/HTML. All right? You got that? So you'll be able to tune in on that today and hear what's going on along with that. We do want to hear from you today. As you know, and before I go on with that, I'll let you know that Kristen Breitweiser is going to be with us around 5:30 today, okay? She's a busy gal, lots of interviews and so forth, but she's going to be with us about 5:30. We're going to give her a call and find out just how this 9/11 legislation push is going, that she's heading up. Such a bright, intelligent, and well-spoken woman. I love it to hear from her. I had a chance to chat with her yesterday for a while, and she's just so highly intelligent and so well-spoken. That group, the 9/11 group, very, very lucky to have a woman like Kristen Breitweiser in their organization. And somebody as tenacious, as bulldog tenacious as she and her friends were to get that 9/11 commission going. You know, we haven't talked anything at all today about the election. I know many of you are still smarting over what you think happened, what we think may have happened in that election. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for the smoking gun, and no one has handed it to me yet. You know, I would like to be able to have that smoking gun and go in and lay it down on the prosecutor's table and say, "Here you go. Let's go to work. Let's find out what happened for sure. Let's dig in. Let's see who did this." I think somebody did do this. I think a lot of people did this. I think there's something terribly, terribly wrong with this election. I don't think there'd be any question about there's something terribly wrong with this election right now. I don't know what. I do know a lot of crazy things happened in this election, and that all of the anomalies that happened favored George Bush. Now, how can that be? I would like to know how can that be. Let me give you an example for those of you that haven't kept close tabs on this. In Ohio. Ohio, Ken Blackwell, he's the Catherine Harris of 2004. He really is. And once again, he was Bush's campaign manager in Ohio, wouldn't you know? And here he is in charge of the vote. Now, first of all, that just shouldn't be allowed. It absolutely should not be allowed. Somebody independent should be in charge of the election. But in Ohio, he's done everything he could to drag his feet so there won't be time for a proper recount, and or if anything is found in it, there won't be time to do anything about it before the electors are chosen and vote. But just an example of some of the things we know. In the 4th Ward, over on Cleveland East Side, I'm not from Cleveland, but I know Cleveland very, very well. There were two fringe presidential candidates, as you know. There's that Michael Peruca. And so in Precinct 4F, located at Cleveland Benedictine High School, one of the great Catholic high schools on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive in Cleveland, Kerry received 290 votes. Bush received 21 votes. And Michael Peruca, candidate of the ultra-conservative anti-immigrant constitutional party, got 215 votes. Does that make any sense to you? That many, and this is a black community, folks. They voted for this Peruca guy, 215 of them to only 21 for Bush and 290 for Kerry. That doesn't make any sense at all. You know, that's as likely as all those Jewish votes for Buchanan back in Florida's Palm Beach County in 2000. And then we go to Precinct 4N, also at Benedictine High School. The Kerry count was 318, Bush was 21, and the Libertarian Party candidate Michael Bednarik, 163. Does that make any sense to you? No, definitely not. Back in 2000, the combined third-party votes in those two precincts, including Nader, was 8. 8. And this time there was, see, what do we got here? 378? I don't think that happened. Do you? I don't think so. And the same pattern has showed up in 10 Cleveland precincts in which Bednarik and Peruca received nearly 700 votes between them. That's just one thing. That's just one thing that took place in Ohio. There are one thing after another that took place there. This was a dirty election. I don't know what happened. I don't know who did it. I don't know how they did it, but something is terribly wrong. Something terribly wrong. More than 90,000 voters in Ohio cast ballots without a valid presidential choice. 90,000 of them left it empty. How about that? Do you think that happened? And I was looking for that. I got one amazing stat here someplace about how many. Okay, in Ohio once again. Tell me the likelihood of this happening. Ellen Connolly, an African-American Supreme Court candidate running an underfunded race at the bottom of the ticket. She really, folks, had no money, ran no campaign at all. She received over 257,000 more votes than John Kerry did in 37 counties. Now, here we have John Kerry on the presidential ticket, and this woman who really ran no campaign ended up with 257,000 more votes than John Kerry did in 37 Ohio counties. That didn't happen. That simply did not happen. It's just crazy. There's just one thing after another like that. If you got anything to talk about like that, let us know. But here we got Blackwell dragging his feet, and he's going to make darn sure that there's not going to be time to do anything about this if they find anything wrong. Kerry's gained quite a few votes. They've gained 17,000 votes already in that lead of 136,000. So, I don't know. It smells to high heaven, and nothing is being done about it. John Kerry's campaign hasn't done a whole lot about it, and that's another thing. Why did John Kerry's campaign not do anything about this until so late in the game? Do you think he's positioning himself for a 2008 run, and so now it's going to be, we tried our best when 2008 comes. He's thought better of giving up so quickly. I don't know. I'd love to hear what you have to say about it, really. I would take a few moments and talk about the recent election. Or as many of you put it, once again, here we are, the selection. And as all of you know, there's considerable debate raging about the authenticity of the results of the presidential race right now. I've searched and searched and searched for ironclad proof of fraud, and so far I don't have anything concrete to base this on. I love proof, you know. We like to deal in facts on this program. But I'm convinced, beyond a reasonable doubt, that something is terribly wrong with the vote count in this election. And it seems that new problems are being found almost every day. And I'm not going to bore you with all the numbers, but most of you have heard about the various statistical anomalies that are showing up and huge differences. And that's the thing. Here's the thing that really grabs me. The huge differences between exit polls and vote tallies. More votes being tallied than there were registered voters. Huge mistakes because of computer glitches. And the small difference between the exit polls and the vote counts in counties with paper ballots, as opposed to these counties that use the touchscreen machines, having such huge differences between the actual vote and the exit polls. Logically looking at it, it doesn't make any sense. Now, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. When you look at these, you look at these numbers, they don't make any sense. And let's not forget that the machines produce no paper or other independently auditable records of the votes. The software that records the votes is proprietary. In other words, it's secret. It follows that there's no direct and independent means for a citizen or a government agency to verify that a vote's been correctly counted and recorded. You know, the machines have been shown. You can ask Bev Harris about this. She's an expert on it. They've shown that these machines can be easily hacked, vote totals changed, leaving no evidence of the tampering, and that's not speculative. Like I said, several demonstration hackings have been performed. And, you know, one of the other things, the owners and senior offices of the three major companies that manufacture and program these machines are supporters of and contributors to the Republican Party and the Bush campaign. You know, and people in other countries are shocked at the willingness of the American people to allow the privatization of their elections and the use of machines that can't be audited. Why on earth would we do that? You know, the people should be shocked. American elections are probably now less secure. And when you think about it, I think you'll agree with me, they're less secure than those of the Banana Republic election that we sent observers to monitor. The fact that the machines manufacturers, the Republicans, our political allies of the Bush administration, allows the Bushes to steal elections with almost no fear of discovery. You know, even those of you, think about it, some of you work in retail, right? Even your local Walmart manager, right down to the checkout clerk, is held accountable if the cash drawers don't match the register receipt. Is that not true? I mean, we're talking about a few thousand or a few hundred dollars going through a register, cash register in a day. Something that's not important. In retail stores all over America, shortages have to be reconciled. Day in and day out, they have to match. So I ask you, is it too much to ask that the results of an election, our most sacred right as citizens, is it too much to ask that the results of the election be properly tabulated and proven to be correct? Shouldn't your most sacred right as a citizen of this country be protected at least as much as the cash drawers at the local Walmart? Please think about that. Please think of the free rein that we're giving these people to run these elections this way. You know, our Republican friends, and we're going to hear it over and over and over again, our Republican friends are calling us whiners because many of us don't accept the results of the election to be valid. The fact that we're calling for recounts in some states is being ridiculed by those on the right. And let me say that if the shoe were on the other foot and nearly all of the discrepancies in the vote tally were favoring John Kerry, the Republicans would be screaming bloody murder and rioting like they did down in Miami the last time until they got what they wanted. Can there be any doubt about that? I think not. You know, we Democrats owe it to ourselves and to our country to follow every trail, every lead, every foul odor coming from this election until we either prove outright fraud and deception or find that these glitches were just simple errors. You know, I might feel differently about this whole thing if I didn't completely understand the lengths this administration will go to in order to achieve their misguided goals. If you'll lie about a war, you'll lie about anything. You know, they've shown us that they're willing to lie, to cheat, and to steal to get what they want, and that leaves us with no choice but to look upon this election with the utmost skepticism and distrust. That's the way I look at it. I know a lot of you look at it that way, and I think this needs to be settled one way or another, or we will never trust another election again. The Republican Party won't trust it again. The Democratic Party, nobody. Nobody on the losing side. If we don't straighten out these errors and these methods we're using and get them to be good and trustworthy, no one on the losing side will ever again trust an election. Mark my word, that's the truth. Let's go to Scott in Port Charlotte. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, let me make a comment, okay?
Sure.
Your Republican friends that call in and make all this noise, I defy them, because I try to do it, to go on these other Republican-dominated shows and tell them, I want to look at the Democratic side. My friend, you will never get on the air. Unless you agree with what Limbaugh is saying and what Hennessy is saying, you'll never get on the air. So you're doing these guys a great big favor by listening to them. You got more patience than I do. Point number two, the stuff that took place in Miami-Dade and Broward County, in which absolutely the gambling issue was dead, you recall they found 79,000 absentee votes that took it over the top.
Yep.
Did anybody ever verify where they came from?
No.
Okay.
No.
And then you make a noise, you call up the newspaper, you say, look into that. Well, it's a dead issue. Same thing happened in Charlotte County. A guy was losing handsomely. He was running for something to do with voting. He was, anyway, I don't want to get involved in names. But this guy was losing by 35,000 votes. Guess what? They found 34,000 votes. Where did they come from? I don't know.
Sometimes you do what you got to do.
And another thing, I try to get in contact with newspapers. My friend, what did Yasser Arafat die from? Why is that such a secret?
Yeah. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what he died from. Nobody knows.
If all the people I've spoken to, it sounds like it was prolonged lead poisoning. And I don't mean by lead bullet. I'm talking about, you know, the fact that the corpuscles failed, the red cells failed, the white cells failed, and the liver failed. That characteristic was long range. I'm not a doctor, but that's what I hear. But where are the newspapers? Why aren't they helping us? Isn't that the truth that we should know? That's not a rhetorical question.
You know, I agree with you, Scott. I do. All along, all the while he was sick and dying, I was sitting there every day going, what? What is it? And the idea that he was dead and buried, and I don't know if they did an autopsy on him or not. If he did, we'll never find out the truth. It's easy enough that he could have been poisoned. Who knows? Who knows?
But the question is, you were talking about trust a little while ago. How could we trust the newspapers, TV, BBC, Deutsche's World, if nobody's pursuing this thing? Believe it or not, he was elected leader by the Palestinians. This guy, you know, he was no fool. And then he's disappeared. I'm with you, my dear friend. I'm getting more and more frustrated, and we have to do something. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, we need somebody to spearhead the Democratic Party. We need Clinton to get in the forefront. We need Kerry to get... We need a visual face that we can focus on. You're doing an admirable job, so are other people. But I think we need a recognizable figure.
Yes, we do.
Look at. Sorry?
Yes, we do. I agree.
And let's see if we can work hard, we can get something like that. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Hey, we'll bang away at it, Scott. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Do appreciate it. I'll be talking to Kristen Breitweiser in just a moment or two. Oh, we're going to go to Juanita in Winter Haven, Florida right now. Hi,
Hello.
Juanita.
Hey, I don't know if that's my phone or not, but you hear me?
Yes, it certainly
okay.
is. Loud and clear.
I recently got a cordless, and I'm learning. Anyway, one thing I wanted to say, that Radio Left is also broadcasting that Ohio meeting.
Oh, okay.
They're also broadcasting it live. Anyway, I'm upset about what is about the Democratic Leadership Council and Progressive Policy Institute. They're both are denigrating Michael Moore.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them's Al Frum, and the other one's Will Marshall. I don't know who they are.
Well, Marshall's ahead of their think tank, the progressive think tank, and Fromm, he's just been ahead of the DLC for a while now. We talked about that a little earlier in the program today.
Did you? I missed it.
Yeah, I gave the quotes about what they said about Michael Moore and all. You know, these people want us to turn into Republicans, That's what they want.
I don't know what. I think they want us to turn into robots or something.
I'm not a big fan of the DLC. Uh-huh. I haven't been for a long, long time. They've changed considerably of what they were when they first started out, and there's something different now, and I don't appreciate their agenda right now.
Well, is anything being done? I mean, I heard a bunch of the congressmen talking, too, on C-SPAN, and it sounded relatively the same way, you know.
Sure.
One thing I'd like to say about Yasser Arafat.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they did say that he might have been poisoned at one time when he was still living, after they had put him through a lot of tests and ruled out leukemia. They said it was a possibility that he was poisoned.
Well, I hope we find out the answer to that someday. Every time something like that comes along and we don't find out the absolute truth about it, I think it just lends more credence to conspiracy theories and so forth. We need to clear these things up nice and tidy every time we get a chance.
And let Democrats be Democrats. My goodness.
That's right. Hey, Juanita, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now we're going to go to our guest, a lady that I've admired so much, and I'm sure you've seen on CNN lately and so forth. I just saw her again on there the other day. A lady who has been so very tenacious and courageous and true to her word. When she says she's going to do something, she does it. And I've admired her efforts to get the 9/11 Commission to come to fruition. And I've admired her efforts now to try and get the 9/11 Commission Reform Bill passed. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Kristen Breitweiser. Kristen, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you with us this afternoon. And I see that, you haven't let up a bit. You're working hard on getting this legislation passed right now. How do you think we're sitting with it right now?
You know what? I have been speaking with a lot of the 9/11 family members in the last couple of days. We really don't know what's going to happen. There are certain signs that it's got a shot of going through, but yet there are other things that are indicating that it's not. Currently, I think everyone probably in the listening audience knows that there's two lines of resistance, one obviously coming out of the Department of Defense and the other coming from Congressman Sensenbrenner. Obviously, the one issue, the defense issue, really boils down to defense contracts and budget turf and money. And the immigration issue boils down to basically regarding giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants.
Don't you think we can come back to that issue? Don't you think we should pass the meat of this and then maybe come back and visit that issue again?
Certainly, that's my position. I don't understand why the entire safety of the nation has to hang in the balance. I think that we have a Republican president, a Republican Congress. There's certainly no reason why they can't come back next Congress and argue for the immigration reforms. And I think it's important to note that the bill that is currently pending does address immigration issues. It calls for biometrics at the borders. It calls for increased requirements to get a visa. It calls for an increase of border security agents and border security investigators. There's a whole host of things that it calls for increased requirement identification to get on planes. These are all things that are not being done right now and that will not be done if this legislation doesn't get passed on the 6th.
Well, and in regard to what's been done so far about the tragedy on 9/11, do you think this country is safer now than it was?
I don't think it's safer. I think that, in fact, it's very upsetting and disappointing to find out that we are certainly nowhere near where we could be with regard to homeland security and our national security apparatus, and that's very frustrating. The reality is we are probably going to get attacked again. It's probably going to happen sooner rather than later. And there were so many lost opportunities in the past 3.5 years where we really could have put some intelligence reforms in place. We could have secured our borders. You know, our first responders are still not adequately trained. They're not adequately funded. And that's unconscionable because we needed to have learned those lessons from 9/11. So that going forward, we know that every life that can be saved in an attack is saved.
I know you've roamed the halls of Congress over this. I know you've met with everybody in the Senate and the House that you possibly could, and people have avoided you. People have avoided people with your group because they didn't want to talk about it. Why do you think so many politicians have run from this issue?
I think that some of the politicians politicians or elected officials are running from this particular issue at this particular point because it comes down to turf. It's a turf battle with regard to the Defense Department. And really what they're concerned about is that if we have a new director of national intelligence who is in control of $40 billion of intelligence funds, right now the Department of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, determines where that money is spent and how it's spent. And very often that money is spent buying nifty satellites and nifty technological equipment that stuffs the pockets of defense contractors. Now, if we have a new domestic national intelligence director, you know, that person is in control of that $40 billion budget, and he may find that instead of buying satellites, we need to be putting covert operative agents on the ground in these countries. Now, that's not going to get the defense contractors money. So that's why I think there's a lot of concern on behalf of defense contractors that they're not comfortable with this new idea because they're worried about their pocketbooks. And that's a very sad thing to say, but a lot of our elected officials receive campaign contributions from defense contracting companies. And, you know, it the bottom line is power and money. And I think that it is deplorable to put our nation's safety at risk for political reasons or for financial reasons. It's unacceptable.
It's hard to think that conscientious legislators, elected people in the Congress, would put money ahead of the lives. I mean, all you have to do is watch the film of 9/11 again, and I think it would change the average person's mind, but not the politicians interested in getting the money.
Well, I mean, that's just the reality of what it is. I mean, why else is this legislation being held up? It's certainly not going to affect boots on the ground. I mean, my goodness, we have Al-Qaeda and other groups like Al-Qaeda doing 100 things at a time. If we cannot expect our Defense Department, our Pentagon, to not only protect boots on the ground, but withstand an overhaul of our intelligence community, which in the end will make the boots on the ground safer. We may not even need to get to boots on the ground if our intelligence community works properly, you know, hearkening back to the Iraq and the WMD scandal. You know, if we can't expect our Pentagon to do two things at once, then we're in an awful lot of trouble because Bin Laden and his cohorts are doing 100 things at a time to try and kill us.
That's
and
true.
I think in today's day and age, we need to start multitasking.
I think we're being lulled to sleep right now. Nothing has happened for a long, long time. An average Joe American saying, well, you know, we've been protected and we're okay now. And I just think it's such a false way of looking at things right now. And
listen, I agree, and I could tell you two things. I had a conversation with someone about that very topic, how we haven't been attacked. And I think one of the reasons is you look at the history of Al-Qaeda, you know, they take a number of years to plan an attack. They don't rush into things. They've been known to call off things and hold off and wait for the more opportune time. And I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he actually had said to me that, you know why they haven't attacked? Because they don't need to. One of the reasons why Bin Laden did 9/11 was because he wanted to increase recruitment of Al-Qaeda operatives. He needed new recruits. And that was testified at the commission. And I guess, apparently, our foreign policy in Iraq right now is doing fine just on its own, giving Bin Laden all the recruits that he wants. So this gentleman was positing that perhaps we haven't been attacked because Bin Laden's winning and he doesn't need to attack.
Oh, he's had better luck recruiting than our recruiters have over here.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it was an interesting thing. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I did kind of just made you think, you know.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, you live in New York or you live in New Jersey?
I live in New York and New Jersey.
Oh, okay. You know, I read an interesting thing about you on a little lighter note. I read you went to Seton Hall Law School.
Yes.
And you actually practiced law for 3 days. Now I've got to ask you about that. I hope I don't embarrass you by asking that. I just got to ask you about that particular situation.
I think I practiced private practice for 3 days. I clerked for a judge for a year out of law school. I had a clerkship. And then I went into private practice, and I lasted 3 days. And while I make light of it, the real reason was my mother was dying of cancer.
I see.
And I took a leave of absence to take care of her.
Yeah.
So that's the real reason. But frankly, I didn't go back because I didn't want to go back.
Yeah, yeah.
So while it was a very sad reason, I did never return because I didn't really find happiness with the law.
Well, how are things with your family now?
It's great. My little girl is five and a half. She's in school now, and we're waiting for Santa. And, you know, we're just sort of taking it as we do. It's very bittersweet to have the holidays.
Sure.
And it's tough. It's tough to rally and to want to decorate and want to celebrate when you don't have anyone to share that with.
Certainly.
It's really tough.
Well, you have shown that you are an extremely strong woman. And so many of us admire you for that.
Well, listen, I think that really, truthfully, it's a group of the family members. We have all really worked together very hard. And I think the support that I get from those other family members is what keeps me going. And I know that sometimes when they're depressed, I keep them
certainly
going.
Well, it's a wonderful group, and I appreciate your efforts, and I applaud you for them, and keep working hard.
Well, I would encourage all of your listeners to call their house elected officials, their congressmen and women, on Monday and urge them to call Speaker Hastert and ask him to put it to a vote.
We'll certainly push for that. Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Breitweiser, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Nice to hear from you. A courageous, very courageous lady. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show, and we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Restoring the liberal media. The Guy James Show.
As a small business owner, you turn multitasking into a fine art, because for you, doing several things all at the same time is just another day at the office. So Sam's Club offers the option of doing two things at once, buying items you need for your business while at the same time buying items you need for your home. This holiday season, jewelry's best-kept secret is revealed. Discover fine-quality diamonds at Sam's Club. Whether you're shopping for home or business, count on us to help you get it done. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medications specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
When you laugh, what exactly is going on?
Laughter, from a scientific point of view, is a series of short burst of vowel-like sounds that last about a 15th of a second and repeat every fifth of a second. That's the technical description of...
Robert Provine, professor of psychology at the University of Maryland and author of the book Laughter, A Scientific Investigation.
It turns out that laughter is really about people and the relationships between them, and not so much about jokes. One thing that you can say for sure, when you're laughing, you're probably around other people. In fact, we laugh 30 times more often when we're around other people than we're by ourselves.
Women tend to be attracted to men who make them laugh, and men tend to be attracted to women who laugh at them.
I looked into this by looking at personal ads in newspapers, and a very common request by women is for men who have a good sense of humor. But women requesting men with a good sense of humor aren't requesting men who laugh. How attractive do women find giggly men?
You've no doubt heard that laughter is good for you, but Robert says that's hard to prove.
Certainly when we laugh, we feel better. If laughter makes us feel good, it probably is good for us. But hard scientific evidence to support that laughter produces good health is really not out there at the present time.
At somethingyoushouldknow.net, I'm Mike Carruthers, and that's Something You Should Know.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WPTK. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, we are winding down. Where does the time go? It's about 20 minutes till 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Time, or whatever we call it here in the East. And those of you out in California, why... you've got a long time left in the day. It's going to get dark. By the time I walk out of the studio tonight, it's dark. Probably dark right now. I don't like that time change. I've said that before. You know, I was thinking yesterday, I sat down and started thinking about this whole situation we're in now with what seems like a perpetual war. And I was watching on C-SPAN some Muslim people talking about it. Will somebody tell me, and maybe I've missed it, I do my utmost every week to stay well informed as well as I can in what time I have, to stay as well informed as possible on the issues. And I wish somebody would tell me what the Bush administration has done to improve relations with the Muslim world. I mean, we're at war with a Muslim nation. Two Muslim nations, Afghanistan and Iraq, and maybe soon to be a third one in Iran, and maybe a fourth one in Syria. Who knows what's going to happen? Like I said before, if we had enough soldiers to go ahead and do that, I think we'd be doing it right now. There's little doubt in my mind that Bush would just push right ahead with it. If we had a million man standing army, he'd commit them all over there right now. I'm convinced of that. That's speculation on my part, but I am convinced of that. But you know, has he done anything to improve relations with the Muslim world? Anything at all? You know, some kind of a summit meeting with Muslim leaders from around the world. Has he done that? Don't you think that's something he ought to do? Here we are at war, and the Muslim world has pretty much declared war on us. You know, feelings aren't getting any better between the two sides on this. And, you know, how about trying to talk to Israel and doing the same thing? You know, can you think of two countries that need to make peace with the Muslims any more than the U.S. and Israel? I can't. So here is Bush, this great world leader, at least in his mind, he's some kind of a leader, who has done nothing to show the Muslim world and the rest of the world that he's serious about mending fences and making peace and making the relationship between the East and the West with the Muslim world and us better. Nothing. You know, when I stop and think about that, isn't it one of the great responsibilities of our president to protect us by promoting good foreign relations? Isn't that what he's supposed to do? Yes, he's supposed to lead us into war when it's absolutely necessary. That's one of his jobs. But he's also supposed to lead us into peace. Why isn't we're not even looking for peace? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed there's no mention of that? You know, has he protected us and made good foreign relations? I think you can tell how good our foreign relations are right now by watching what happens when Bush goes to a foreign country. Oh, man. You know, for one reason or another, he goes to these foreign countries and he's hated. He's absolutely reviled and despised around the world. And that makes me really uncomfortable to have the President of the United States hated to that degree that he is. And he is hated. Hated. I mean, my God, we talked about it earlier, our good neighbors to the north in Canada hate him. When's the last time the Canadians hated an American president? I can't think of any time. I really can't. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to have him go someplace. And it hurts. As an American, when I see my president go overseas and step off of that 747 and walk down there, I want to see people welcoming him and waving American flags like they used to. They didn't treat Bill Clinton that way. They had the good sense to realize that Bill Clinton was an international statesman, a statesman of the highest order. Bush's father wasn't all that bad at that. Ronald Reagan wasn't all that bad at that. Jimmy Carter wasn't all that bad at that. Most of the presidents weren't all that bad at that. None of them were despised and hated and reviled the way this man is around the country. Can the rest of the world be entirely wrong about George Bush? You know, instead of promoting peace, he's persisted in constructing an illusion to the American people, an illusion of security, and some kind of fantasy of strength, and alienating aggressiveness that can be penetrated at any moment. Think about this. All of this illusion can be penetrated at any moment by a sufficiently, though not necessarily skilled, adversary. One guy with the right equipment coming into our ports. One guy coming across the border up in Minot, North Dakota. One guy flying an airplane. You know, think of the things that can happen. And we are suffering through this grand illusion, at least 59 million of us are, this grand illusion that we're safe, that this man has done so much to protect us from terrorists. I don't understand. I wish somebody had helped me understand that, because I just don't. You know, we can. I think it was Plato that said we can easily forgive a child who's afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. And why are we afraid of the light? Why are we? Why don't we pursue the peace that should be rightfully ours? You know, I don't get it. I really don't. And illusion is the word here. Bush lives off of illusion. His life, his career as an oil man and a governor and a businessman and all of it's been it's cotton candy. There's nothing there. It's all a grand illusion, and it's been carefully painted and fostered and put forth by experts of propaganda. Experts. You know, he sold the idea during his election that he was Lord and protector of our nation, and it's pure poppycock. He sold the idea that we haven't been attacked since 9/11. You know, I would submit to you that the fact has more to do with Bin Laden boys' plans than it does with any protective measures taken by this administration, the reasons we haven't been attacked. And I would also remind you that we hadn't been attacked here at home in the last 8 years before that. So does that mean anything? It means nothing. Nothing. It's part of that illusion. So has Bush protected us in any way? The answer to that is no, hell no. Quite the contrary. Ask the families of the 1,290 or so, plus whatever, died today. Ask those families if we're any safer right now. Ask them if their families are safer right now. You know, it's all an illusion. He knows it. You, my informed listeners, know it. Everyone knows it. Except for his blind followers who mistakenly believe every word he says because he goes to church and prays. Yeah, right. Right. It's still, after, what has he been in office? Almost 4 years now. I'm still fascinated by this. I really am. And when we look at this going to church and praying every day thing, I was thinking about something else yesterday when it comes down to that. We were talking about the evangelicals, the South, the solid South with their religious views on this election. All of them, a huge percentage of the evangelicals live in the South. I mean, you know, they're solid red states. And the evangelicals voted something like 80% for George W. Bush, 77, 80%, whatever it was. And they, when you talk to them and ask them individually, why did you vote for George W. Bush? You're an evangelical Christian. Why did you vote for George Bush? You know what the answer usually is? It's because he's a good Christian man. He prays every day and he goes to church. That's why I voted for him. He's a good Christian man. What about Jimmy Carter? Did Jimmy Carter carry the entire South like Bush did? No. Did he carry the huge evangelical vote like Bush did? No. That proves right there that there's something wrong with their answers. Now, I think even the most jaded of you on the right would have to say that Jimmy Carter is one very religious, very moral man. I think, in my opinion, got nothing to do with politics whatsoever. Probably the most moral man who's lived in the White House in my lifetime. I don't think there's any question. Not to me, there isn't any question about that. I wouldn't care if he was a Republican, a Libertarian, or what. Jimmy Carter is a very moral, good, righteous Christian man, and he proves that more every day he is alive. And yet, did the solid red South vote for Jimmy Carter? No. I mean, I think he did carry Georgia. So, that answer, that I voted for Bush because he's a good Christian man, he goes to church, he prays, that's phony. Or if it's not phony, if you really believe that, can you see the warped way you're thinking there? Can you see that? That you didn't vote for a good Christian man, perhaps the most religious man we've had in this in the past century, as a president. You didn't vote for him, and you hate him today. You hate him. Don't give me that baloney. You hate Jimmy Carter. We know that. You know that. Everybody knows that because he's a Democrat. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I've tried and tried and tried to understand this thing that's going on with the evangelical Christians right now, and I cannot. I hear many of my Democratic friends right now saying, well, you know, we've got to play up the fact that we're Christian. We've got to all lay our religiosity out there on the street for everybody to see like they did. Oh, I don't think so. I'm not that kind of a Christian, are you? You know, it says somewhere in the Bible about when you pray and all that, about not making a spectacle of it. About not making your religion a spectacle. Yes, do what you have to do to be a Christian, but doing it in the proper way. And when you're out there making a spectacle of your religious beliefs in a political campaign, that doesn't show me much. Doesn't show me much at all. Hey, we're going to stop for a break right now. No, we're not going to stop for a break. I guess we're not going to stop. Okay, we're not going to stop for a break. Caught the board up there. Anyway, I do want you to, all of you listening on the internet right now, I would like you to go to the thread that we've got up on there right now and let us know what you think if we do change the time of the program, when it would be a good time, when it would be a good time to change it. Earlier, later, like to know what you think about it. There are forces at work that we might have to change it. I don't know yet for sure, but I'd like to know what you think, because after all, it's not me that's the reason for this show, it's you, and what you say matters a whole lot to me. So I hope you can let us know what you think, those of you on the internet. And as we always talk about, I'd like to let you know that this is a donor-supported program. And we buy our time to be on this station, and it's not cheap. And we don't take anything personally out of this whatsoever. It's been a labor of love over the last couple of years. And I think, by the way, today is our second anniversary. And, yes, right. And it's our second anniversary, and we have to pay the streaming bill and the phone bill and all that every month. It just doesn't come out of thin air. And we appreciate the donations of so many of you who have helped keep this program on the air over the years, over these last 2 years. And we appreciate the sacrifice and all of those of you that will continue, we hope, to help us stay on the air. David Goggins from Eureka, California. William Sherrill, Ralph Edmondson. Cheryl Wyatt up in Madison, Wisconsin. Chris Kern in Hudson, Florida. Marianne Stottlemyre from Murdoch, Florida. The Welshels of Moultrie, Georgia. Robert and Donna Wood. Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sewer. Gene Legg. Mr. and Mrs. Arnie Arneson. Luciano, your city. Dale Danford. William Sherrill of Syracuse, New York. Bill Beaumont. Ryan Veith. Larry and Judy Golinski in Naples. Preston Enright, Robert and Sable Wright in Durham, North Carolina. Eric Peterson up in Vermont. Eric, guy's an angel to this program. Carolyn Patton Dushke of Cape Coral, Florida. Elaine Miller, Virginia Miller, both of Newton, Iowa. I've been in Newton, Iowa. I love Newton, Iowa. I love Iowa, period. I'm a farm boy. Elizabeth Harlow, Patrick O'Sullivan, and let me just give you a few more names while I got time here right now. Gina Gilbert Pollock, David Birch, and by the way, speaking of David Birch, if you don't have time to listen to this program on Saturday, you can always go to www.whiterosesociety.org, and the archives of the program are there, along with archives of my friend Mike Malloy and my friend Randy Rhodes and some other shows on there as well. And you can go there and download this program, listen to it anytime you want to. Yeah, I do that. I go there and download it and put it on CDs, and if I want I want to listen to what I had to say, why, that's what we do. We'd like to thank Gretchen Adams, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Elena LaBar, Helen Poker, she's a sweetie, that's for sure, Robert Wood, Vicki Sandak, Marie Nelson, Robert DeVale, J.D. Marl, Linda Davis, Jeff Matson, Joe Hinckley, Susan O'Donnell, Paul Johnson, Jeffrey Hales. We'd like to thank all of you folks for helping keep this program on the air. It's important that we keep the show on the air, and if you can all throw a few bucks, go to www.theguyjamesshow.com for you local folks. You see, everybody on the internet knows where that site is, or they wouldn't be listening right now. So all the local folks, go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and help keep this program on the air. We do appreciate your support so very much, so very, very much. And I wanted to close out the program today just by talking about something that has been going on in Fallujah and going on in Iraq since the war started, and that's this napalm situation. I know war is hell. I know it is. But does it have to be made absolutely unspeakably hellish when it doesn't need to be? We have the U.S. accused of using napalm in Fallujah, something that's been outlawed by most of the world. They've been decent enough not to use napalm. They're using it on insurgents around Fallujah, and naturally a bunch of innocent Iraqis have been killed by it. Have you seen the pictures on the internet of women and children with their bodies burned in half because of the awful effects of napalm? It's got jet fuel and gel mixed together, so when it gets on you, it just doesn't go away. It'll burn your arm right off. You remember the horrible picture of that little girl in Vietnam running as she was on fire, naked on fire, a little 6 or 7 year old girl? That's the effect of napalm. I'm ashamed that my government would do that. I really am. And I know you are too. Let's let our voices be known that it doesn't happen again. You're listening to The Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you again next week.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
The news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Get that intelligence reform bill out of the House already. I'm Larry Jacobs, and the urgency to pass the legislation recommended by the 9/11 Commission is coming from both sides now. Here's Democratic Congressman Bob Menendez of New Jersey.
President Bush must make clear to House Republican leaders that there is no room for politics on this issue. He must end the deception and delays of his party and get this bill passed now.
Menendez, during the Democratic radio address, President Bush had the same message to legislators during his radio address.
The legislation I support preserves the existing chain of command and leaves America's 15 intelligence agencies, organizations, and offices in their current departments.
Headway in the U.S. war.